classes. So in terms of National Assembly Rule 159, the committee must elect an acting chairperson. Members know the procedure. I will be asking for nominations and secondments from the floor. If there's only one nomination, then the committee will continue with that person acting as a chairperson. If there's more than one nomination, there will be a small voting process by a show of hands. Members, can I then commence with the process? Mr. McDonald, I acknowledge your hand.
Good morning. Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, Ms. Corals. I propose honourable Mann for acting chairperson for today.
Is there a secondment for that nomination?
I am, yeah.
Mr. Sithole, I acknowledge you. Can I just first ask if Mr. Mung accept the nomination?
Good morning again. Yes, I do accept it. Thank you, Ms. Carlson.
Ms. Kumalo, I acknowledge your hand.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. I do second the nomination of Honorable Mung to chair the meeting. Thank you.
Mr. Wunsinger, I acknowledge your hand.
Good morning, Ms. Carlson and colleagues. I just want to put on record that I do not have an objection of Mr. Lisa, Honorable Lisa Mung, chairing this proceedings. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Carlson.
Are there any further nominations? Mr. Mabena, I acknowledge your hand.
Good morning, Ms. Carlson. I see Honorable Mung is dressed for the occasion. So let's not disrupt the process.
Mr. Mung, you might take over the chair. Thank you very much, members.
I thought you will deal with Mr. Honorable Mabena because I'm always dressed for the occasion. But I'm sure it was on a lighter note. Good morning. Good morning, colleagues. Thank you very much for the opportunity to chair the meeting. We will proceed. The agenda is before us. I'm sure we have it. I wouldn't know if you would like it to be flighted, but Honorable Mabena, I see your hand is up, or is it a legacy hand?
Good morning, Chairperson. No, it's not legacy hand, it's a new hand. I just wanted to record in the meeting that I'll be leaving the meeting around 10, because I have another engagement that I need to that I need to attend.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure the Secretariat will note that. And I see Honorable Hunsinger also. Good morning, colleague. You may go ahead, Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. Chairperson, I have two matters to raise before we start with today's meeting, if you will allow me with today's agenda, if you would allow me, Chairperson.
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll make it concise. Chairperson, we are confronted with a situation where some of the entities have not submitted their 2021-22 financial annual reports. One of these entities, the Road Accident Fund, has been assisted through two pieces of communication by Minister Mbalula on the 4th of November last year. And on the 30th of March this year, to explain why the Road Accident Fund's annual financial statements have not been submitted to date. The first one referred to them, the Auditor General not being done, and the second one about a court case that was pending. And subsequent to that, in June this year, there was an engagement with the Parliament Constitutional and Legal Services and SCOPA, where the sub judice rule was also considered, as well as reasons why the Road Accident Fund would not and hasn't submitted their financial statements. And during that meeting with SCOPA, that was shortly before the last recess in June 2022, there was a particular finding where the CLSO advised that it is not applicable to use the sub judice rule, and it should not be used to frustrate the oversight process of Parliament. Therefore, Chairperson, I would ask for your consideration in this committee to then get an update on this so that we know what the situation is. I know there was some process completed within this legal process, Part A, in fact, and then Part B is still pending. But it was stated very clearly by Parliament's Constitutional and Legal Services officers that the oversight function should go ahead, and I think it would be appropriate for us as a committee then to ask for an update on the situation. The second issue, Chairperson, relates to a engagement that we had around the very sad incident of the South African Civil Aviation calibration aircraft crash, and the report that was tabled with a committee in March this year, in fact on the 8th of March, of the Ethiopian Aircraft Accident Investigation Bureau. And subsequent to that, there was mention of an appeals process which hindered a final report being tabled and presented following that sad incident which happened in George on the 20th of January 2020. Now, in the meantime, this Ethiopian Aircraft Accident Investigation Bureau replied to what was offered to us as an appeals process. And they replied in saying that there is no such thing as an appeals process and that the finding stands. In fact, that the content of the report as it was tabled originally was confirmed, and that no new evidence was added for them to consider any review of any kind. So the causal findings therefore also stand, and I think we should just revisit that point in March 2022 when that report was tabled. But during that meeting, there was also a request to ask the former accident investigations chief, if I recall correctly, it was a Peter Mashaba, who is not with civil aviation anymore, but who expressed a desire to appear before the committee to assist us with questions that we might have about conditions of inspection prior to the period. So, Chairperson, those are the two aspects which I submit for consideration for our committee. Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Honourable Hunsinger, for raising those two points. I will make my comments right now before we go into the agenda of today and open up for any comments from other colleagues on my comments. And my comments are very simple, that towards the end of the meeting, we are asking now that Ms. Carlson and our legal advisor look into these two issues and advise us at the end of the meeting as to what the procedure process in terms of rules would entail for us to engage the issues in the way that they have been presented. I think in particular the first one of the road accident fund. The second one also the same. I'm requesting Ms. Carol and Advocate Nell to look into the matter as the meeting is continuing. But I think that one is really a matter of reopening or bringing back the matter to the committee. But both of them, I request the two colleagues to look into it, and at the end, before closure, let us look at it and see what would be the best legal process without compromising any rule and what we are doing. So that is how I would respond immediately to what Honorable Hun Singh is saying, and ask if any colleagues do have an objection to that. I think it's a fair request to that. Is there anybody with a different opinion? I do not see any hands, and therefore, okay, there are two. Honorable McDonald and Honorable Ketama Balasitole, in that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I lower my hand before it's a legacy hand, Chairperson, I'm in agreement with what you've summarized, that we allow the meeting to continue, and while the meeting is continuing, we can get some more information and the legalities behind those two requests, Chairperson. So I'm in support of your suggestion, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Ketama Bala.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I do support your summary, but in addition, I want to the department or either our secretary or the portfolio committee to receive information about the formalization of tech industry. You remember that there was that conference of tech or formalization of tech industry. We was not been invited, and we never get any information on how far and what is happening. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you for smuggling another issue. But thank you very much, colleagues. We will then continue to the agenda of the day, which we all have. And I would, at this moment, like to invite the Honorable Minister. I'm sure he's in. I didn't really check if... Ms. Carlson, please go ahead.
I was going to share with you the apologies now. The Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the Acting DG is attending Cabinet Lakotla. And Mr. Mokunyama, who is the DDG for Public Transport, is leading the delegation today from the department.
Thank you, Ms. Carlson, also for your patience and understanding and acting person who misses all these important issues.
Chairperson, before we continue, Chairperson, I just wanted to ask your indulgence, Chairperson. I'm sorry, I wanted to raise my hand, but I was trying to stop you before we start. Chairperson, I just want to raise one question, Chairperson, and it's just a note. I think that from the executive, we've not been seeing them enough in the portfolio committee, Chairperson. I think just as a note that we note that we've been stepchildren to the executive for a while, and we would love to have them back. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald. Those apologies that is presented have been noted, and I hope we will also note the request of Honorable Mabena for an early departure from the meeting. And seeing that the minister is not here, I propose that we then continue, colleagues, and invite the leader of delegation of the department to take us through the Marine Pollution Amendment Bill.
Colleagues, don't deepen the crisis for me. You didn't ask me to act as a chair to deepen the crisis. Honorable Ramadan.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I want to apologize up front. When you start, I was at the doctor's room, so I couldn't start on time. I want to apologize for that. And that I'm still going there. It's just because I was on the line and I went to the doctor to ask for I asked the doctor, in fact, before. So now, if I, it's possible that I can leave the meeting early and get into the doctor's room again.
We wish you well with that visit, and we will understand when you do finish. If you can rejoin, we will also appreciate it. So thank you, Honorable Ramadou. As you lower your hand, please. I want to assume, Ms. Carroll said that we do have a quorum and we can continue with the meeting, with all those agendas having been noted.
That's correct, Acting Chair.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You said it's DDG Mukonyama who is leading the delegation. Can I invite you, DDG, to take us through the Marine Pollution Amendment Bill?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable Chair and honorable members and colleagues on the platform. Like it has been registered, Chairperson, the Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, and the Director General are at the extended cabinet. This is the second day. And I am with the police from the department to deal with the relevant issues on the agenda. Chair, in relation to the first item, the Marine Pollution Amendment Bill, Chairperson, we bring this bill to Parliament for consideration and recommendation to the President to approve. What we can say is it's been a long overdue, Chairperson. As you would know, we are signatory to the.
DDG, sorry, can you find some stability? Your voice keeps on moving away and back so that we don't disrupt you. If you could just find some stability, we'll appreciate. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies. What I will do, first of all, I will switch off the video because I want to believe I've been seen, and then try to see if changing position will not help. Chair, as I continue, I was saying that we bring the Marine Pollution Amendment Bill to the Portfolio Committee for consideration and processing it forward to have it approved by the Parliament and then sent to the President for accession. Chair, you would recall that we are part of the international conventions, in particular in this space, the Convention for the Prevention of Pollution from Ships. There have been quite a number of protocols and annexes to protocols that were approved and recommended to member states by the conventions. And this process is really to domesticate some of those protocols, in particular the issues of emissions and the issues of sewer spillages, Chair. I am with the colleagues from the Maritime Branch and Mr. Dumisani Ntuli in the meeting. And I'll request him to take you through chapters and in terms of clause by clause explanation. Thank you very much. Mr. Ntuli, if you hear me through your chairperson, he can then start.
Yes, it's okay. Did you let it flow? You will announce them as you want them to do, so that we can quickly go through it. Thank you.
Thank you, chairperson. Dr. Dumisani Ntuli, if you are in the meeting, would you assist the committee?
No, thank you. Thank you very much, DDG. May I also take the opportunity to indicate that we also have an acting DDG for Maritime Transport, Ms. Tsepiso Mashilwane, whom I understand she wanted to create the meeting, and I can proceed to make the presentation thereafter. So through you, DDG, may I see whether Ms. Mashilwane can speak. Thank you.
Good morning to the acting chairperson of the
Committee
Court, and then to the members of the Portfolio Committee, Maritime Transport, and then I am here with the Chief Director responsible for Maritime Transport. Chairperson.
Now that you have been asked to create, it would be nice to see your face also.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am also trying to share the screen in terms of the presentation. I just wanted to check so that we can just flow with the process.
No, we can see the face now. So the presentation was already up, but please go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. And as I've indicated, Mr. Ntuli will do the actual amendments that we are requesting. And then the acting DG has indicated that we are here for the amendments of the two protocols in terms of Annexure 4 and then Annexure 5, Annexure 6 of the bill. And we are here to say that we are requesting the portfolio to approve that we can take this bill and then it can be presented for before Parliament. We are members of the IMO, which is the International Maritime Organization, and then this protocol or this convention was adopted way back in 1973, and then there were 5 annexes that have been done to date, and then up to 1997. And then there is a new amendment, which is Annexure 6, and then as we do into Annexure 6, we're saying that Annexure 4, it is about, as the 18 diseases indicated, it is about how then do we regulate as a country or as a maritime nation, the activities for treatment and safe disposal of the sewage from ships, and then also now MARPOL Annex 5 and 6 is the main global instrument that addresses ship energy. And then as we do that one, we are also saying that how much are we able to reduce our footprint in terms of the carbon footprints, taking into consideration that shipping also make a contribution in terms of the greenhouse gases emissions. So that is the main purpose of us now here and saying that we would want to incorporate those two annexes so that they can we can be able to properly regulate them in South Africa. We are saying, acting chairperson and members of the PCOT, that by us incorporating these two annexes, which are from MARPOL, these are the benefits that we foresee as a country, that we will be able to restrict the discharge of sewage, and then we'll then reduce the nutrient loads. And then some of these nutrient loads, once the capacity is too high, we see a death in terms of our fisheries and some of the marine life.
Sorry for that. Your presentation is in one slide. I don't know if on your side, are you moving further down so that we could follow where you are? Because I think you have passed the presentation overview, which is what is still displayed at the moment.
Chairperson, I am now on the benefits and I am not sure now.
Colleagues, are you all seeing that one slide, still the presentation overview?
You're on the right page.
Yes, sir.
You're on the right page.
Yeah, that's true.
I am on the benefits of the incorporation.
Chairperson, no. If I can make a suggestion, Chairperson, can we not ask the Secretariat to share the presentation? Because this presentation is not moving, Chairperson.
It's not moving because it's not on slideshow, Chairperson. If you can move to slideshow, then we will be able to begin to then see the slides moving.
Okay, sorry, Elsepi. So let's just address that so that we could follow you. Sorry for that interruption, but it's important that we follow you properly.
Chairperson, if I'm allowed, can I just confirm that I am on the objectives of the marine pollution, the slide that is the heading?
Yes, it is on objectives now. Yes.
Okay. Apologies for that one, Chairperson, Acting Chairperson, and then to the rest of the members. We are saying that the objectives of the marine pollution prevention, it is for us now to saying that we are incorporating or introducing about 7 new clauses. And then Ms. Tintin will take us through those 7 new clauses. But then we are saying that in terms of an extra form, it is about us as a maritime nation being able to regulate the activities for the treatment of and safe disposal of the sewage from ships. There is this sewage, once there is an overload of this sewage in our ecosystem, which is the marine ecosystem, it tends to disrupt the life cycle of those marine life, and then we see them dying. And then in terms of the MARPOL Annexa 6, we are saying that it is the main global instrument that addresses ship energy, and then as well as saying that how do we manage our carbon footprint as a nation by reducing the greenhouse gases emissions. And does it do that one, being able to incorporate this annexa into the bill as amendments to the bill, then we will be having those we'll be having the capacity or the capability as a country to be able to enforce these protocols. We are saying also to members of the portfolio committee, saying that the benefit of this incorporation of the Annexa 4 as well as Annexa 6 is to say that by allowing us to be able to restrict the discharge of this sewage into the sewage from the ships into our ocean ecosystem. Because then it will reduce the nutrient loads, and then once we see that happening, it usually leads to death or demise of the marine ecosystem in terms of their life cycle. We are saying that the prevention as well as reduction and control of the marine pollution from the air or indirectly through the air. And then as we do that, we are also going to preserve the maritime environment. And we are saying through the complete elimination by pollution, of pollution by oil and other harmful substances, we are also minimizing the accidental discharge of such substances. And then it also leads to saying that we have a clean environment, and then it is for the benefit of humankind for us to be able to reduce that emissions into the air. And ships will then be required to use the fuel with no more than 0.50 sulfur content. And then they can also use approved other fuel systems. And then that system is usually referred to as scrubbers. We have had some studies that are started with our counterparts from the institution, like the CSIR, as well as the universities, to find more ways and then benefits of then how then do we safely use these scrubbers without adding other problems like your marine pollution into the more especially into the port system. So we are working in collaboration with those institution members so that we can find solution that will allow us to use those alternative fuel treatment systems. In terms of the amendments, Chairperson, we have got about 7 clauses that we are looking into saying incorporating as into the bill. And then Dan, I will then allow Ms. Julie to take us into the actual technical definitions, which is about the convention. It is about us now being able to say that how then do we include this definition of the convention into the bill. Ms. Julie, over to you, and then I will still be moving with the slides.
Thank you, Ms. Mashilwane, and thank you, Acting Chairperson. I hope that we are all on the slide reflecting proposed amendments, and if that is so, we would like to take the members through the proposed amendments. Firstly, Clause 1, we are proposing an inclusion of a definition to include annexes 4 and 6 in the definition of the convention. So the amendment that we would make in this case would be would read as follows: the convention, the purpose of the convention so as to expand it to cater for annexes, regulations and protocols which will now form part of this bill. So we have reflected the how it would look like. So the new definition of a convention would then read as follows. It would mean the International Convention for the Prevention of Pollution from Ships, 1973, as amended by the Protocol of 1978, adopted by the Intergovernmental Maritime Consultative Organization in London, 17 February 1978, including any annexes, regulations, and protocols which are issued in terms thereof and set out in the schedule. So the benefit of having this then would be to include the annexes that were not included when South Africa adopted the convention. Next slide, please. Clause 2, we have identified the gap where there is an absence of the convention into South African law. Members would recall that the Act itself is very old. I think the approach that was adopted when the Act was approved, it did not necessarily adopt the whole of the convention. So that has caused challenges when the convention was amended by the IMO, and it always required us to then amend the convention. So the approach that we are adopting in this case is to incorporate the whole of the convention into South African law. So that would then mean that South Africa would therefore give full effect to the convention. So when amended, then the provision would read as follows: subject to the provision of this Act, the convention has the force of law in the Republic. To the Minister, shall, as soon as practicable after the entry into force for the Republic of any amendment to the convention, amend the schedule by notice in the Gazette to reflect such amendment. So in that way, the South African marine pollution prevention legislation would be up to date. We would not have a situation where IMO adopts an instrument or an amendment to that instrument, or introduces a new protocol, that we would have to go back and amend the whole of the Act. But the minister would update the schedule in the Act by publishing it in the Gazette. So the benefits of this, as indicated, are as shown there. So the next slide is, we are introducing an enabling tool for SAMHSA, in that some of the provisions of the conventions and protocols would require, they are of a nature that either some of them are recommendatory, depending on which schedule of the convention they would be. So there was always an absence of the power for SAMHSA to be able to issue technical standards. At the moment, the mechanism for SAMHSA to announce and enforce the legislation that is drawn from the convention is by issuing of a marine notice, which has, I think, received some challenges. So by introducing this tool of issuing of technical standard, it would then help to deal with that situation. So the amendment that would be made would then read, the authority may issue technical standards for marine pollution from ships on such matters as may be prescribed by regulation. And two, a technical standard shall have the force of law. So in that way, it would stand any challenge that may be there. So the benefits are to enable the authority to enforce compliance with technical standards so published in the manner as provided for in the Act. Next slide, please. Clause 3, addresses the gap of an absence of the regulations for annexes 4 and 6. And we are now, the amendment extends the powers of the minister to make regulations in relation to the provisions of these annexes, which will now become part of legislation. So the matters that are reflected under under the what it will read like would then include prevention of air pollution from ships, prevention of pollution by sewage from ships, removal of endocrine disrupting substances from sewage streams before it is treated and released, permitted types of emission abatement equipment, the requirements for disposal of waste generated by mitigation equipment, accredited laboratories eligible to test fuel samples, and the cost, designation of emission control areas, enforcement of protective measures, in particular sensitive sea areas and other spatial areas, and generally any other ancillary or incidental administrative or procedural matters that may be necessary to be so prescribed. And the benefit is really is to give a clear guidance on how to implement the principal act as it now would incorporate annexes 4 and 6. Next slide, please. Clause 4 is closing the gap relating to the cost of damage to the marine environment if our coast were to be exposed to such damage. At the moment, the ceiling for fines is at the level of 500,000, and but on the other marine environment legislation like the NEMA, which is which is the legislation managed by our sister department DEF, already is at a much higher level. So South Africa has a zero tolerance policy on pollution of the marine environment. So by introducing this amendment, we are therefore strengthening the arm of the state to ensure that it is able to recover the damages that may result from pollution, either by fuel bunkers and other types, could be chemicals, etc. So we are introducing, we are raising the limit to about 10 million with an imprisonment of not exceeding 10 years, because the damage to the marine environment may be huge if we consider most recent cases in other jurisdictions where states suffered. So how it would read, therefore, is that it would read, so clause 4 then read, any person convicted of an offense under subsection 1 shall be liable to a fine not exceeding 10 million or to imprisonment for a period of not exceeding 10 years as to such fine as well as such imprisonment. So these are the benefits that South Africa will have been able to translate zero tolerance policy into really creating a deterrent that people must ensure that when they traverse South African waters, they've got insurance to cover any damage that may be there. Members would be aware that we are parties to the IOPC funds, but sometimes that fund may not cover the full extent of the damage that may result from pollution. So by having this fund, I think it would just help the state to have a much stronger hand to deal with the challenge. Next slide, please. Clause 5, for strange reasons, this act did not have the power of the minister to establish advisory committees. So this amendment affords the minister that power to be able to establish these advisory committees. And how it would look like, then the minister would have the power to appoint advisory committee to advise him or her in regard to any particular matter dealt with by this Act, conclude cooperative agreement with other states. As we, as members, will be aware that it is the duty of the executive to enter into cooperation agreements with other states. In the case of marine pollution, it is critical that the South Africa must work in cooperation with other states, because oil is a moving matter. If South African waters are polluted, Mozambican waters would, Namibian waters would. So that cooperation agreement becomes therefore important. And also the minister would have the power to delegate or assign any issues to any official of the department in regard to any matter dealt with by this Act. So this was really an anomaly where the minister did not have such power to be able to exercise. So this is just to update the legislation to include that. And those are the benefits, in that the minister would now be able to ensure the implementation of the convention through cooperation with other parties to the convention, and he would be able to assign officials specific duties to undertake. Next slide, please. Yes, I think the last part that deals with the schedule of the Act, in that we will now have annexes 4 and 6 included as schedules, and so that would then help South Africa give full effect to the treaty. Next slide. Yes, this just reflects, we know that members would wish to know how we have the journey we've taken up to Parliament, and that we have consulted all those agencies who made inputs, including the industry, and now that the Cabinet has approved, we are now here, and we are humbly asking the members to prioritize this, because this is some of the changes, for instance, on Annex 6 came into effect in 2020. And unfortunately, this bill is still at this stage. We understand members have got a tight schedule, but we are pleading that if there is any way possible, these are few amendments, but with significant contribution to the economy of the country, significant contributions in enabling the particular sums to be able to execute. And also noting that IMO expects member states, particularly South Africa, is hosting the World Maritime Day parallel event in October this year, to really give full effect to the treaty. We are being audited next year, and it would be sad if we are found not to have given full effect, particularly to these annexes of MARPOL. So we are really humbly appealing, and I would wish to thank the members, thank the DG, acting DG, and Ms. Mashilwane, and hand over to you, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Ntuli. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, that is our presentation. Just to also add that the amendments went through internal processes, including cabinet. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DDG. Thank you, Dr. Ntuli, and the acting DDG, Madam there. Colleagues, there is a presentation. And it is now your opportunity to engage on the presentation. Can I see hands? The hands that I see before me are Honorable Hunsinger, Honorable Lawrence McDonald, Honorable Ketamabala Sithole. Those are the three hands. I see also Honorable Nolu Chungu. So in that order, colleagues, Honorable Hunsinger, Honorable McDonald, Honorable Ketamabala Sithole, last but not least in this round, Honorable Nolu Chungu. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the department, in particular DDG Mokonyama, and all the presenters. Chairperson, just clarity. We received some detail on how this would be implemented in terms of local legislation, with emphasis on annexes or annex 4 and 6 of MARPOL or IMO. I didn't hear much about Annex 5. Is Annex 5 also hereby included? In other words, are we talking 4 to 6? And what about the other annexes, since I believe we are currently into an Annex 9 already? So just clarity on where we are, what we are considering in particular. And if not the whole range, where are we in relation to the rest, in particular because of the audit? And what does the audit entail? And how would a non-compliance in a worst-case scenario affect such a compliance assessment? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hunsinda. Honourable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the department's presentation. Chairperson, let me just preempt by saying there's no other way but for me to support the amendments, because the ocean and the ocean's economy is very important to South Africa. Well, so with that, I support the amendments to the bill. I also support what Honourable Hunsinga said. But Chairperson, in South Africa, is unique in all its ways, and I'm finding it. There's a question: how many fines have we actually issued with the current legislation that we have for pollution? Because we have many laws, and we seem to be fighting we lack in the implementation and the policing of these laws. So I just wanted to just touch on that and how this will assist us in the policing of this pollution. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable McDonald. Honourable Ketamabala, I don't know if you are back. I saw you were kicked out. Are you there?
I'm back.
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, first of all, I want to thank the department for highlighting what they have been highlighted. But I'm trying to check Honourable Chairperson, because Honourable Hunsinga has been touched on it there. The update of another schedules, because they are just talking about two schedules, Schedule 4 and Schedule 6. And I'm trying to check what about another schedule. And other one, Chairperson, that I'm trying to check, why they don't actually give us the full act and see where can we amend and how can we amend it? Because if they just give us this Schedule 5 without looking the whole act. And then the other Chairperson, I'm trying to check the compliance from other countries. Because according to the report, they say South Africa would have been able to translate the zero tolerance of pollution. I'm trying to check other countries. If the fine is more than 2 million or more than a million, what about those 500,000 which have been actually scheduled before? Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sithole. Honourable Nolu Tsungu.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everyone. Let me also join my colleagues and welcome the presentation. Chair, I've been covered by the main and the latter speaker, but I just want to add the issue of the appointment of the advisory committee. How have they been monitoring this before? And why has it taken them this long to identify the gaps? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Acting DG Mokonyama and your team,
I'm sure you have heard the questions and some comments. The floor is yours to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member for the questions. I'll allow the technical team to deal with the substantive technical issues, and then probably we'll check at the end and then provide some closure. Thanks.
Thank you, DDG Mukunyama, and through you, Chair. Thank you to the members for the questions that have been asked. And just to bring comfort to the members that the current Act does incorporate the other unlesses that we have not referred to, and in this case, annexes 1, 2, 3, and 5. So there are only 6 annexes of MARPOL. So in terms of those, we are, but the only benefit that would apply to all the to us giving full effect to all the annexes is the amendment we are introducing to adopt the whole of the convention and the amendments, because in that way it will then be these amendments would help South Africa update all the latest amendments to all the annexes, because in the current form it would have meant that we would then introduce one annex and then ask for Parliament to approve it and so forth and so forth. So all those are part of the South African law. This amendment would help to update them. And in terms of the audit, yes, the audit of the IMO with South Africa was supposed to have already been held somewhere in 2021, but because of COVID, it was then delayed. So what it entails, it audits compliance by parties to the treaties on those matters that are of a mandatory nature. So these annexes themselves of MARPOL are mandatory. So they will come to South Africa and check whether we have legislation that give effect to the treaty, but even more than that, whether we have the necessary resources to implement the treaty. So if then South Africa was found not to be giving full effect to the treaty, then it would be regarded as such by the states. Well, there are corrective measures that are introduced, but it sends a very negative message, and it does not, it also makes ships not therefore to avoid the coast of South Africa, so which may extend to economic challenges that we may face. But also it would mean that South Africa is not helping the global community to promote and implement measures to improve marine pollution prevention, by the fact that South Africa would not be able to check vessels that come to South Africa whether they've got certificates to either to discharge substances relating to Annex 4 or matters that are covered by Annex 6. So it besides us being found not to be giving full effect, but we would be found not to be the good guys in the international system, because states would want to know whether, is South Africa part of us? Are we helping to rid the oceans with the dangers threats or dangers of pollution? So this legislation is what we needed. I would deal with the questions related to why now. So we were pushing to really have the amendment adopted before the audit was conducted. But I think all the problems because of COVID-19, not to say that we're blaming COVID, but it's a reality that we could not progress legislation fast enough. It was the members would be it was approved quite wide by cabinet already. So honourable member Hansen, that we really appreciate your support, and also the comment by honourable member Lawrence McDonald, particularly in relating to the fines. I've just sent a message to our head of operations at SAMHSA, and I'm reading a response from him, which says there is a schedule which he has provided to me here, which indicates that South Africa does issue fines, and I think just in the last month, according to this report, we have issued fines to the Vale of Hobart, $1.4 million in for various cases. The highest was the one issued in the port of Nguga, which I think, interestingly, it reached the 750,000 as a fine. But the details of the case would be available to the members for scrutiny. It could be, it's possible that in the case of Nguga, multiple cases were involved there, about 14 cases that were involved there. So by empowering South Africa, therefore, to have the power to impose the much heftier fines, I think it would be good, because this is now in cases where these are major incidents and people have been found to have faulted the Republic, then they would have to pay appropriately. Honourable Member Peter Mabala, I think, raised the issue of if we say South Africa is not, what about other states? And how many states are parties to MARPOL, and how do we compare in terms of fines? Yes, we did a study to check what other states were, what fines they were imposing. And I can say without doubt that what we are imposing is far less than what other states, which are exposed, like South Africa. Because remember, South Africa straddles three oceans, the Indian Ocean, the Southern Ocean, and the Atlantic. So our exposure is very big. So in that way, we need to have commensurate penalties to protect it. Honourable Member Nolichungu raised the issues, but why now? Yes, indeed, I think it can be asked, why now? But your members will recall that part of what we've been trying to do in the maritime space was to define the maritime policy for the country. It is only in 2017 that South Africa now has the Comprehensive Maritime Transport Policy, which then articulates and clarifies some of the issues that may not have been clear for such pieces of legislation to be prioritized. There are, you may have not noticed that there are also in the pipeline some critical legislation, that the bigger one, the amendment of the Merchant Shipping Act, which is still on its route to Parliament. So all these matters have been motivated by the fact that South Africa now has a comprehensive maritime transport policy, and we are now giving full effect and providing the necessary legal instruments to give effect to the policy. So I think I would end here, leader of delegation, Mr. Mukonyama, as our response to the members. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, I think Dr. Kool has dealt with the majority of the issues, the question. Chair, just to re-emphasize the issue of if we are part of the convention and we don't domesticate some of the protocols, the worst case scenario might even be kicked out of some of those organizations. But you know, Chairperson, almost on a regular basis when there are opportunities to lead, even in the IMO Council, if you are not necessarily complying with some of the conventions, it becomes very hard to participate in that space, Chair. And then I think just to also emphasize that we do not have a problem to submit the principal and principles also submitted to the committee. We shall make sure that May Valerie gets it as soon as possible. Just for members to compare. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. Colleagues, those are the responses. Can I check if we've exhausted our time allocated for this item? However, we started a bit late. Is there any other issue, colleagues, follow up for somebody who missed out on the first round? I will give that opportunity. I don't see any show of hands. Therefore, it suggests that we are comfortable. Thank you so much, colleagues. Thank you, Team Transport. We appreciate it. I think it was straightforward. As a way of update to everybody, can I invite Ms. Karelse just to tell us the process going forward from now on, taking into consideration the deliberations at the last portfolio committee on our schedule and the bills before us. I didn't prepare her, but I know she's always prepared. Ms. Karelse?
Thank you, Acting Chair. I want to specifically speak about this bill. Members will remember in terms of procedure, the next step for this bill will be the committee decide on the motion of the desirability for this bill and the public participation process. So the motion of desirability will be scheduled for next week, and then thereafter we will then start the invitation process for the submission on the bill based on members' decision. That is the next step for this bill. And the processing of the bill will obviously depend on how fast the committee process the other bills, which is the Railway Safety Bill, the Transport Appeal Tribunal Bill that's currently before the committee. That is basically it on the bills.
Thank you very much, Ms. Carlson. I thought it was very important. Honorable Hunsinger, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chairperson. Acting Chair, would want to propose that we really fast-track this bill. I think this is probably of the bills currently with the portfolio committee that has the highest possibility of getting fast track, given the approval and the framework which has just been presented to us. Therefore, I do know that a motion of desirability needs to be cleared. But given the consensus which we have around the table in this current forum, you know, whether approval from where we stand now cannot be, whether this cannot be transferred into the motion so that we save a week. The further aspect which I want to point out is the way in which Ms. Gardels has now prioritized this bill as being a bill that has to fall sort of in the queue, I do not favor. I think this bill can be prioritized, but the other bills are more technical and have shown in public participation involvement that there are more issues that we need to consider. I also know that this is a Section 76 bill, which means it has to go through the provinces with the NCOP and therefore would also have extended time. What hastens me to have this sort of urgency is the inspection, which can be detrimental to us. It's important for our economic prospects to rather encourage being updated on international requirements. And therefore, if we could really fast track this, but most importantly, not put it in a priority list behind the other bills, because those bills might just hinder the processing of this one. But that we rather put them next to each other and see how fast we can get this one through. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Hunsinger. I recognize Honourable MacDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me lower my hand. Chairperson, after the submission of Honourable Hunsinger, I'm not opposed that we use the current time that we have and just say that on a motion of desirability that this bill is desired, so that we, as Honourable Hunsinger said, let's save a week and let the bill, so that we can get started with this bill and see how far we can get with it, because it's very important for the oceans economy, it's very important for the people of South Africa, and I think let's save a week and use the opportunity that we have and agree that this bill is needed. Thank you, Chairperson.
That's my disadvantage of chairing, because I have got serious opinions also, but I will choose to chair. Honourable May, good morning. You are recognised. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Chair. I'm a bit late, but I've had a problem with my cell phone. I only want to ask one question. They say, I've read somewhere that only ships carrying oil in bulk as cargo, they must be insured, but if it's less than 2,000 tons, it's not necessary. In such a case, who's responsible for the damage? I would like to know. Thank you.
All right, Honourable May, thank you. Your apology is accepted. And let us dispose of the question of Honourable May quickly. Ndadenduli, I hope you have picked it up. And then we will go back to the comments that have been made by the two colleagues and call upon Ms. Karelse and Advocate Nell to assist us there. Thank you very much. Theophilus Ndadenduli. I like the one of Theophilus. It sounds biblical.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Acting Chair. No, thank you so much. Yes, well, the convention itself covers ships that trade on global oceans. So this is for trading vessels, but vessels that would trade in the domestic environment, there would be special dispensation for that. But the principle of polluter pays still applies, and this has been shown by the cases that we have handled with some where carriers of oil products of that are not covered by the threshold of the convention have been made to pay for the pollution they have caused. I think so there is no exposure that the country has in relation to domestic fleet that is well managed by the Maritime Safety Authority, and we can provide further information. But I thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank Thank you very much, Mr. Theophilus Nduli. That disposes of the questions, and I'm very aware of the time that we have set ourselves for the meeting, and I'm fully aware of the issues that are raised, which are very unconventional, but obviously in trying to assist the process, I don't see why we should not consider them. So can I invite once more Ms. Carol, sir, and whoever else in the team, maybe advocate, to advise in the proposal that has been put on the table, that we bring forward the motion of desirability of the bill, and so that the next week we deal with something else or as the program permits. Ms. Carlson?
That's a member's decision, the meeting call, right? So what I can do is, because I don't want you to be unprepared, Mr. Manglu, I'm going to forward a copy of the motion to yourself and to the members. So when you do the minutes, you can read the motion. And if members agree, that will be then it on the motion of the desirability on the bill. And then if members then also can discuss the or agree on the decision that the bill can be advertised for public comment, that can also happen. Then the next step will be for us, myself and the team, to get the quotes and to inform the House Chair about the movement of the bill and to raise funds for advertising the bill for comment. So that can happen if members are in agreement.
100% the members are in agreement, and we will deal with it before we close the meeting. You can do all the necessary preparation as you are also not prepared for it. But the members are in agreement, and we will clean it up properly before we adjourn the meeting today. So thank you so much. Thank you once more, Team Transport, who was presenting to us on that one. We therefore now step down to the next agenda item, which is the briefing by the Department of Transport on its first quarter expenditure for 2020-2023. And I call upon Acting DG Mukonyama to lead us also in this one. I'm sure you are going to do very well in time, but in case you are not sure, let me give you a time so that you can pace yourself very well. We will give you 25 minutes presentation. And thereafter, we will take interaction of colleagues. 25 minutes on the first quarter expenditure reports, which starts now. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, this item shall be led by Rosanna Mansi, our head for strategic planning and monitoring. And then the presentation is combined with the expenditure reports that shall be then presented by the CFO. And like you have said, Chairperson, I'm sure the colleagues can break that record, can do it in less than 25 minutes. Thanks. Musa?
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Thank you to the DDG Dr. Mukonyama and also colleagues on the platform. We will try to break the record and move quicker and consider the report as read. Chairperson, we are going to be looking at the performance of the department, and we also have preliminary information in terms of our service delivery space that we have received from our entities. We'll just take a synopsis of a few of them just to provide additional information on it. But in terms of the Department of Transport, we for the quarter under review, we had 40 targets. We've achieved on 33, on 7 we have not achieved, and we will go through those areas together with the reasons for deviation. Key highlights, just quickly, the annual report for 2021 has been finalized. It's now going through final checks and balances, including submission to the AGSA, and then it will be going for approval by the executive authority. At the top is that the department has recorded an unqualified audit with findings. The material one mainly was on consequence management, and we'll expand on that when we come and present the annual report. In terms of filling out of vacancies, we have filled 21 vacant positions in quarter one. 10 of those were new appointments, 10 were through internal promotions, and one was a lateral transfer. The vacancy rate declined by 1.5% from the 24.7% that we recorded at the end of March 2022 to 23.2% that we recorded in June 2022. And that vacancy rate is exacerbated by the 114 unfunded positions that are currently in the establishment. The department may need to deactivate those so that we can start recording our vacancy rate on only those that are funded. The last time we did that, we had recorded around 16.2, and with the vacancy rate declining by 1.5, that figure might be down. We'll once we have deactivated these unfunded positions, we'll then talk to the vacancy rate that doesn't include these ones that we can move on. The other issue that is impacting on our vacancy rate is the turnover rate. And since April 22 to date, there's been 17 terminations, and they're also contributing to that. Chair, we'd also be aware that we've set ourselves a target to fill 50 vacant positions for this financial year. But in terms of the financial allowance that we have, we can fill up to 98%. So we will endeavor to exceed this 50% that we have set for ourselves by continuing to do overtime work to expedite the process and eliminate the backlog that we have. The integrated transport space, autonomous vehicle technology, and the electric vehicle technology, the targets have been met as they were targeted. And the international regional integration strategy, we've done stakeholder consultations with Sunbelt CBRTA internally, and also with ATNS and the RSR. The freight migration plan, in terms of moving our road freight to rail, Chair, we have now moved to the business case has been done, the gap analysis in terms of reference, the concept documents, and the stakeholder consultation plan, in terms of making sure that we move the 10% that we have set ourselves for the MTSF. Part of the issues that we are discussing previously at our stakeholder consultations is identification of these commodities and tonnages that we can migrate to rail. One of the major issues that we are discussing with Transnet and DPE is the availability of rail capacity to move these commodities, and that some of the low-hanging fruit will be based on the industry willingness and readiness to migrate some of these commodities. The National Rail Bill has been revised to incorporate the inputs of the approved National Rail Policy. The two frameworks, the PSP framework and the HSR framework, has also been aligned with the Cabinet approved rail policy, and they are now awaiting to be finalized and receive ministerial approval to be submitted to Cabinet. In terms of the rail infrastructure and industry development, the rolling stock fleet renewal program, as at the end of the last financial year, we had done 39 trains, which brought the total number of trains that had been produced to 89. In quarter one, we've moved additional 14 trains were provisionally accepted, bringing the total to 103. And on this 103, in quarter one, we could not deploy any new train sets to priority corridors, but since they've been produced out of the 103, we've got about over 40 that has already been deployed in Gauteng and the Western Cape in this regard. We will touch on some of the service delivery issues when we do the consolidated indicators. The Plaza Capital program, limited progress, and data shows that majority of the projects are still in initiation, concept, and procurement phases. The implementation of the National Road Safety Strategy, in quarter one, 3,142 fatalities were recorded, which represents a 3.2 reduction when compared to the same period in the last financial year. And since 2018, in terms of the baseline of 2018, fatalities have gone down by 3% between 2018 and 2021. In line with our targeted performance of reducing by 25% over the 5 years. The integration of road traffic law enforcement, the task team to map up the process has been established and will be moving at pace to ensure that the integration and rationalization of the entities is achieved. The SANRAL road maintenance program continued on their network, and the SANRAL network has increased to 22,275, taking into consideration the latest road survey and proclamations. And some of the issues that SANRAL is grappling with in terms of that are impacting on this financial sustainability and working capital constraints. To that regard, we are also looking at developing a funding model, an appropriate funding model for PRASA, and this is on Sundan that we'll talk to that when we get to PRASA. Apologies. In terms of the jobs created, Sundan has recorded over 8,127 jobs, with women benefiting 2,322, the youth over 4,060 persons with disabilities, bringing the total number of jobs created by SANRAL to 30,591. And in the provincial road maintenance program, the batch of the data is reported in the consolidated indicators. But just to highlight that a lot of work has happened mainly in addressing the commitments that we made from the presidential SONA in Bizos, also the implementation of the integrated Samba Sonke rollout program that mainly focused on the pothole repair program that was launched in August 2022, and also that SANRAL is the preferred implementing agent to coordinate activities in that regard. Where we have not met our target, Chair, the road infrastructure funding policy will be fast-tracked once we conclude all the internal structures. That includes the consultations internally. Once we've done that, we'll move at pace to ensure that the funding policy can be submitted to Cabinet in this current financial year. In civil aviation, representation of South Africa on the ICAO Council has been facilitated. The lobbying documents have been developed and preparatory committees have been established. And in terms of the state of aviation accidents and incidents in South Africa, a total of 5 cumulative fatalities recorded in quarter one, indicating a decrease of 5 fatalities when compared to the same period last year. This is due to the momentum that is created by the implementation of the aviation safety strategy, with the department in consultation with SACA has started implementing the draft aeronautical maritime search and rescue bill has been tabled to the SASA executive committee for comments. In terms of maritime, the Maritime Development Fund bill has been signed by the minister to submit to cabinet. The Oceans Economy Master Plan, it's going ahead. We have not finalized it. However, a draft report has been developed in this regard. and the MTM delivery unit is in the process to submit the updated 3-foot plan documents to DPME. And then just to move quickly on areas where we have not met our target, the merchant shipping bill, we were supposed to have received approval to submit to cabinet. However, it's still undergoing clusters. It has already passed the SA cluster and it's now en route to the ICTS cluster, which is going to be fast-tracked, and then so that we can be able to be ready for submission to cabinet in the second quarter. The maritime security strategy as well. Consultations have happened, but in terms of our technical indicators, we missed our consultations with SARS and Department of Health. We will continue ensuring that we consult those and we move in that regard. On the IPTN space, we have met with a number of cities, among our members would be aware that we also did an oversight visit to Mangaung, and they have revised their implementation plan. We anticipate that they are going to start rolling out their phase ones in October of this financial year. Just also at the top that in terms of the allegations of corruptions and fraud and corruption, there is a forensic investigation that has been commissioned in Mangaung, and we expect the report at the end of September. And also in Rustenburg, we did an oversight visit, and there's also a forensic investigation that is happening on the Rustenburg IPTN. We have also revised their implementation plan, and they will be one of the cities that have that will be fast tracked for implementation of their phase one operations before the end of the financial year. The only city that we is reporting delays that are really worrying is Eteguini, and that they have committed to develop a business plan and to also to negotiate with the affected operators and agree on compensation, so that they can also finalize their construction and start their operations. And Nelson Mandela Bay bilateral was also held, including Cape Town in this regard. The average weekday passenger trips recorded across the cities, you'll see there that Cape Town has got around 56,000, followed by Johannesburg at 34,000, and Polokwane is currently at 822. Quickly on the PTOC, Chair, the PTOC, these are the routes that are subsidized, and the kilometers and the trips that are subsidized. The transfers, the total allocation for the current financial year stands at around 7 billion. Transfers between between May and August stands at around 2.6 to date, in line with the approved payment schedule. The number of passengers that are benefiting from PTOC across 9 provinces stands at around 56.9 million. We currently have about 108 subsidized contracts and 19 unsubsidized contracts in this regard. The challenges remain insufficient funding for the program. There are a number of contracts that are old, and in terms of the governance in this space also, some of the provinces are incurring irregular expenditure with regards to extensions of these old contracts. The tax recap in the quarter under review, we have scrapped 519, and as stated in the previous meeting, we will be introducing a cutoff date to urge operators to submit and also continue to explore further measures that are going to improve the uptake for scrapping. In terms of the Sova Kalula, 2,601 bicycles were distributed in the quarter under review. If I move quicker, the rollout of the integrated signal ticketing system was supposed to have been implemented in one city, which is Rustenburg. It's that has delayed due to the delay in the launching. And once they have launched their services, we will then be doing that one. In terms of the NPTR space, the business case, gap analysis and draft terms of reference were developed, and the NPTR committee has been finalized, and it started work. It's just that the information came after the reporting period. But in terms of our red flags process, these two are not giving us any problem. They will be catching up in the next financial year. The subsidy policy as well, we just awaiting the CS certificate from DPME. From our side, we've concluded all the work that we're supposed to have done, and we will just move as soon as we receive the certificate from DPME. With regard to the funding model, we are also in consultations with the National Treasury. We are continuing to engage with them to ensure that we move quicker to finalize the transport funding model framework. In terms of the consolidated indicators, very quickly, from the cluster point of view, the 14 train sets, we talk to them. In terms of additional information that we will report fully in the next quarter, we preliminary information at our disposal is that train performance, we had about 16,000 trains that were scheduled, about 14,000 of those ran, about 2,300 were cancelled, and about 4,000 of those trains were delayed. And the passenger trips, we have recorded about 2.18 million against the target of 5.6, which records a 61% variance. But most of this is slower than anticipated resumption of the corridors that we have targeted to recover, and also the floods that impacted the operations in KZN. The other information in terms of the rail safety occurrences, only 37 were reported under the period under review. In terms of the rail security, 349 rail security occurrences have also been recorded. As stated, some of the risks in the space of PRASA include financial sustainabilities, encroachment onto the rail infrastructure and rail reserves, and the theft and vandalism, and we have mitigations that will be implementing over the financial year to ensure that we meet our targeted numbers. The other information, Chair, I'm going to consider as read, and we will then respond to questions as it will be coming, as the presentation was also circulated, Chair, so that I can save time on this one. I will then move over to the CFO so that he can take us through the expenditure report, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, through you, and greetings, honorable members. I'll proceed from this slide as indicated by my colleagues. On the overview, Chairperson and honorable members, you can see that the department was able to spend 15.6 billion to date, reporting a 23% of the total current budget of 69.1 billion. However, our benchmark was to spend 15.7 billion in the first quarter. Therefore, we are indicating an underspending of 50 million. This underspending is basically on the compensation of employees as well as on goods and services due to a number of projects that have yet to commence. We also have an underspending, Chairperson and members, on the transfers and subsidies, mainly due to the tax recapitalization program and also from the RTA for the operations, and then as well as the bursaries for non-employees. However, I want the committee to know that we have overspent on the transfer specifically to the Road Traffic Management Corporation, as well as the international organization, institution, as well as social contribution. Next slide. The next slide, Chairperson, shows you the schedule, where you can see the first column shows you the budget, the planned cash flow for the first quarter, and the actual expenditure for the first quarter, as explained, and then it shows you the available budget for the rest of the financial year. And next slide, please. The next slide, Chairperson, is an explanation on the underspending per economic classification. There you can see that the understanding on compensation. However, the committee must know that there's a typo there, that the total of 21 pools were filled in the financial year 2022-23 at the end of the first quarter, which 7 of those pools were filled in the month of June. It should be noted that most of the pools that were filled since the beginning of the financial year were through internal promotions, and this included the recorded resignations. We also note there were some retirements, and also there were officials who were transferred outside the department, and this contributed to the underspending. On the goods and services, Chairperson and members, I want to highlight the following. The underspending mainly on projects such as Shovakalula Bicycle Program, the program development for Samba Songe, the implementation of the IPTNs in district municipalities, the development of the road disaster management plan, the development of the road asset management tool, the regional corridor strategy and autonomous vehicle regulation, as well as other projects. And also the COVID restrictions have been dropped. Therefore, the department is projecting higher expenditure for traveling and subsistence and training in the coming periods of this financial year. On the transfers, I have already indicated that there is an underspending mainly due to the tax recapitalization program, which is demand driven. Also, there is an outstanding payment to the Road Traffic Infringement Agency for their operation, as they have yet to bill the department for their operations. We have got also underspending on bursaries to non-employees. However, I is indicated that the RTMC, there is an overspending due to the earlier than anticipated transfer as a result of cash flow challenges faced by the corporation. We also have overspending on the international organization to ICAO, bursaries to non-employees, as well as social contribution. On the machinery and equipment, we overspend as a result of the earlier than anticipated deliveries. The next slide shows you the actual figures. As I've just explained, there you can see that the administration, they've underspent by 27 million, EITP by 1 million, rail transport 1 million. However, road transport, as indicated in relation to RTMC, by 35 million, civil aviation underspending by 4.2 million, maritime 3.9, public transport sitting there at 47 million. Next slide, please. I'll go through quickly this one's underspending in program one is due to compensation of employees and other operational items such as computer services, legal services fees, traveling, as well as other goods and services. In ITP, the 1.3 is due to projects that are yet to commence, such as the regional corridor strategy and the autonomous vehicle regulation and other goods. In the rail transport, there's a 1.2 million due to projects such as the establishment of the rail economic regulator and the national rail bill. And we go to road transport. I have already explained this one, which is the overspending in relation to the RTMC. Then we go to civil aviation. Next slide. There we are.
Recording in progress.
And the next slide also continuing with transfers and subsidies. There you can see that the taxes scraping, we are underspending by 25 million, whereas the social benefits, we overspend by 2 million. Bazaars to non-employees, we are underspending by 4 million. And international organization, we overspent for the period under review by 5 million. And this is explanation for each and every item under that particular classification, Chairperson and members. The next three slides are just to highlight our main grants that we transfer to provinces. You can see that the provincial road maintenance grant, we have transferred 24% up to the first quarter. The next slide will talk to the public transport operation grant. Next slide, please. Yes, thank you very much. You can see that in total, we've transferred 18% to the provinces for the operation grant. And finally, the public transport network grant, which goes to those selected municipalities. Next slide, where we're talking about, yes, the municipalities, which you, my colleague just touched on. And up to so far, we have not yet transferred at the end of June, because their first tranche of transfer starts with their financial year in July, which will be shown when we report during the second quarter. Thank you, Chairperson. That will be our last slide.
Chair, that is the performance report as well as the expenditure report, Chairperson. We are ready for questions. Thank you.
I like your state of readiness for questions, DDG. It's encouraging. Means you came very much prepared. Thank you very much. You did well with the time. Colleagues, there it is. There is the full presentation. I now invite by show of hands those who would like to engage on it. I will, even before I start, let me apologize. It was brought to my attention earlier on that I didn't see the hand of Honorable Shabalala Makosini at the time we were dealing with the maritime issue. Please accept my apology. I'm sure what you wanted to raise, we can incorporate as we go forward. The lineup will be the following. Firstly, will be Honorable Makosini, followed by Honorable Nolu Chungu, followed by Honorable Ketamabala, followed by Honorable Lawrence McDonald, followed by Honorable Isaac Silopseitolo, and last but not least, Honorable Hunsinger. Okay, let's put in after Honorable Hunsinger, Honorable May. Yes, there are quite a lot, but I think let's take all of them at the same time and see how we go. Honorable Makosini, you may proceed. Honorable Makosini. All right, let's go to Honorable Nolu Chungu. We'll come back to him.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Please go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, during the first quarter, the presenter said there were no trains that were bought. I want to know the reason why. My second question is with regard to the visit to Bloemfontein. It was mentioned that there is a case that is opened. I want to know why is this case moving at a very slow pace, at a snail pace. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Makosini. Honorable Nolo Tsungu.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first start by welcoming the presentation. My first question is on the PRASA capital projects. PRASA had 875 approved capital projects. And in your presentation, you mentioned that there has been limited progress in the implementation of these projects. And we are citing that majority is stuck in initiation, concept, and procurement. Now, what challenges are you experiencing, or what is the main cause for the slow progress, and how can the committee assist you? The second one is on road safety strategy. Comparing your performance in the first quarter of the previous financial year, how are you doing given the fact that last year it was COVID? And comparing the two, how are you doing? Thirdly, you also mentioned that you have failed to monitor the integrated ticketing system. Now, which city has implemented the integrated ticketing system and which modes are involved? You are also saying Rustenburg will pilot the system in August. Has it been done? And which modes are involved? In terms of IPTN, we are mentioning Imangaung, and they are saying taxes will be removed completely. We know for a fact that the city of Cape Town is struggling to completely remove taxes in routes where my city is operating and where taxes have been compensated and have become part of the program. How are you going to ensure that these taxes are completely removed? You're also saying that in Rustenburg, you were in engagement with them in April for the implementation of the Rustenburg Rapid Transport. How far is the engagement for this implementation? Because you have said earlier on that the pilot system will start in August. In terms of your underspending, you've underspent 50 million. There's somewhere where you said you've underspent 50 million. I have two concerns because it's always tax recapitalization and Shova Kalula are always part of the reasons why there is underspending. So what I would like to know is that what measures are you putting in place to make sure that these two are not always appearing as the reasons for underspending? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nolo Tsungu. Honorable Ketamabala Wakwastole.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, first of all, I have a concern that the department is just cut and paste their report. If you check, Chairperson, the underspending and the overspending, and then you peruse the last one, the last year, 2020 and 2021, it seems that they are just cut and paste. So now I'm trying to check, why are they doing that? Because that scenario is actually boring now. And then another thing, Chairperson, that I'm trying to check is the issue of IPTN. We was doing our oversight in Rustenburg. We find that the IPTN is dysfunctionary. So now I'm trying to check what mechanism do they have now to ensure that they monitor the issue of IPTN in Rustenburg and KwaZulu-Natal, especially in Pietermaritzburg, because it was in Pietermaritzburg, so it seems that there is no movement in that issue in Denver. So now I'm trying to check what is happening. And then the other one, Chairperson, is the issue of vacancy rate. According to what you see, that there is no movement, because if you are talking about 114 unfunded vacates, what does that mean to the department? What are their targets? Because it means that they are not achieving what they have targeted for. And the other one, Chairperson, I'm worried about the issue of potholes. Because if you check, all our roads have got it is not even the potholes now. It's something that you can bury a child. So now I'm trying to check what system do they have, and the province, if they can give us the issue of that by Sunrail. And then the last one, Chairperson, is that one of maritime transportation, because it seems that their target was five programs, but they only achieved three, and the two was not achieved. Why? If they give us the reason, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sithole. Could I kindly request Honorable Chabangu and Honorable Nolo Tsungu to drop their hands, please? And can I ask the indulgence of the other colleagues that already recognize the questions are quite a lot? Let's give the department an opportunity to answer to these. And thereafter, I will go straight to Honorable McDonald, Honorable Hunsinger, and last but not least, Honorable Pete May. Please indulge me so that we don't find questions lost in the maze. Department, please, can you assist us in those responses of that first round?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thanks for the questions.
Excuse me.
Chair, we are a team, and then we shall respond in terms of the programs. All the program managers are in the meeting. Chairperson, maybe if then I can start on the public transport specifically, that the service will deal with the roads issues in terms of potholes and other related issues. Mr. Maluleke to DDG Rail will deal with the PASA issues and other rail-related issues. And then Tepiso will deal with maritime issues. Probably Vosa would then want to come and talk about the report. Chair, The one question, I'll just take them as they were posed. So the one question was, why is the ticketing system, is the ticketing system that you said will be implemented in August now been implemented? Chairperson, that we were talking about piloting it in Rustenburg. Chair, we can report to the committee that, yes, Chair, Rustenburg was poised to start operating a limited service in April, and they have already prepared and are on the verge of rolling out on the using the capsite, as you know, in terms of the other question related to the infrastructure there that is struggling to take shape. So that will be the issue around the AFS, and that also then talks to the issue of Rustenburg. Yes, we agree, Rustenburg has got challenges, lots of challenges, Chair, and that is why after the oversight visit by the Honourable Minister, Chair, a decision was then taken that we put a forensic investigation onto the whole program. And that investigation is going on, has started, is going on, and is also expected in the next two to three months, around November. We are assisted by the National Treasury in that regard. And so is Mangaung, Chairperson. In Mangaung also, there's an intervention, a minister sent a person from the department to
assist to get them to accelerate and get them to roll out. But also there is then an investigation. The Mangaung investigation will be completed before the Rustenburg one. It is not a case, Chair. It is a forensic investigation by Kobodo. And then which city has implemented AFS, like I indicated, none at the moment, but we're planning to roll it out in Rustenburg. Chairperson, the TRP, Taxi Recap, and Shovagalula are always the culprits when it comes to slow spending. And probably this will then also deal with the issue around the purported cut and paste of previous reports. Chair, the Taxi Recap has always been a challenge in terms of the uptake of vehicles, people not bringing in the vehicles. What we've done, we've done an investigation and then studied. The major issue there, Chair, one is the fact that the amount paid for in terms of scrap is not adequate to deal with the deposit for a new vehicle. So the people who want to scrap and get new vehicles are unable to. Number two are people who do not have an operating license. Obviously, we're operating illegally, Chairperson. What are we doing around that, Chair, to improve on the uptake? First of all, Chair, we're proposing, we want the minister to proclaim the cut-off dates for all unsafe and old vehicles and unroadworthy vehicles to be brought in for scrapping, meaning therefore that that will then force people to come instead of us waiting for them, and then using this now tired term called demand driven. So that is the issue that we are reaching up to it. But also, because we really would not want to lose that money, it is one of the parties that we are discussing with the National Treasury to be able to deal with the broader area of funding for public transport subsidization, because we wouldn't want to lose that money, Chair. The other issue, Peter Maritzburg seems to be at a standstill. Chairperson, Peter Maritzburg was one of the three cities that were taken out of the IPTN program. What we have managed to secure is that those cities be assisted to deal with historical debts, contractual obligations in terms of contracts that were still running. But that is the matter also that they've been given to the department to ensure that those cities are assisted in terms of them coming back into the program, and that's the matter that we are dealing with, Chairperson. I think that would be all from public transport, Chairperson, but just quickly, Chair, in terms of the vacancy rate, if you look at the slides talking about the vacancies, it seems that there is very little movement in terms of reducing the vacancy rate in terms of percentage. But if you look at it, the positive side of it is that you have 10 new people coming from outside, but you also have internal movement of 10 more people that were promoted from inside the department. And that then creates a situation which looks like there's very little or no movement. But that is the reality, and obviously promoting our own in terms of them performing well in interviews and stuff should be welcome. I think that is Ibiza. The Rose questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Mr. Honorable Mangu, and thank you very much, DDG Mokonyama, Acting DG. So thank you very much. Let me show my face so that I know the Chairperson can be very angry with us if we don't do this. Thank you very much, Chair. I think on the issues of which was raised by Honorable Ketamabala, the issues of potholes on our road network, and he also mentioned the involvement of SANRA. I think we can just report and say that there is indeed a program that we have embarked on. You remember, we've launched it on the 8th of last month at Mfuleni Municipality, where we were talking about the Operation Valazonke program, which is intending to fix all the potholes and refurbishment of all the road, the provincial road network in particular. We're also wanting to have the municipalities, because they are also having some challenges insofar as the eradication of their potholes in their jurisdiction is also concerned. So it's an integrated approach that we have, from which is coordinated at a national level through the PRMG funding, which is the Provincial Road Maintenance Fund or grant that is earmarked to fix the provincial roads insofar as their maintenance issues and activities are concerned. So that is taking its shape now. As you can see, it's being rolled out across all nine provinces. We started with the launch, as I said, on the 8th and in the Gauteng province. We are preparing to go to Free State as well as in Limpopo in the next 2 weeks. And that is where we're going. So it's rolled out. But while we are saying that, the provinces under the MINMEC, which is the committee of MECs, and the Minister of Transport, that has been agreed upon that is going to be happening in the next 6 months. We have got a program which is earmarked to see how we perform as a country under the construction sector within the six-month period, which is ending in February next year, where we are going to take a look as to see whether where do we need to jack up our program, and insofar as fast-tracking the movement, I mean the eradication of potholes as well as refurbishment, especially on the provincial road network. SANRAL has been identified as the preferred service, I mean as preferred entity, government entity, which has been tried and tested in so many instances in the rehabilitation and fixing and strengthening of the road network in South Africa. So this has been taken, this resolution was taken by the presidential retreat, which took place on the 31st to the 2nd of, of June, or the three-day period, where they have agreed that SANRAL will have to be assisting the whole country insofar as the eradication of potholes is concerned. So this is a very integrated program, Honorable Ketamabala, that is very much intense, and municipalities are also very much involved. And you remember the Department of Transport has made significant also engagement with all municipalities, including the metros, your Western Cape, your Joburg, and your Nelson Mandela Bay, the Thekwini municipalities, that they need also to be part of this integrated approach to solving these roads that are riddled with potholes. And it's very integrated. And we want to mention in this call that indeed everyone has seen the call from the Department of Transport that it's indeed this is how we are going to be dealing with this eradication of potholes across South Africa. So we are very pleased, therefore, that we are now rolling it out very slowly, and SANRAL has gotten on board, and they are training also the municipalities, putting some skills, technical skills, so that they can also be able to fix their own road networks when we have just pulled back as national government, because we are not intending to take over all roads, all roads and streets. Of all the municipalities as well as the provinces. But ours as the National Department of Transport, using SANRAL as our entity, is just to make sure that we transfer skills and we train them up, and also how to track and trace the turnaround time on fixing potholes so that it doesn't end there and been sitting for a long, long time without being attended to. So this is a very good program that we are dealing with. Maybe in one of the our activations that we do in fixing of portals, where our Minister Mbalula is also presiding in some of the areas across the country, Maybe members of the portfolio committee will come and have a look, and Ketamabala, you are more than welcome to come and have a look what is that we do. And it's quite a very energetic and very integrated approach in all spheres of government trying to eradicate this photo. So thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I see you are now, I can see your face. It's quite an indication that you wanted me to shy away from engaging further on this program. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much, Mr. Mokunya. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tavisa Ray.
Thank you, DDG. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. The issue is on the new trains that were not deployed in the first quarter. However, we want to indicate that we received delivery from Givela. We've got new trains in the first quarter. However, out of the 103 deliveries, some of them have not been deployed for operations on the network due to the fact that our capital program is running a bit behind. Why is running behind? It is because during the lockdown of COVID, we had a situation wherein the infrastructure was not guarded, and there were theft and vandalism that happened on the infrastructure. We have appointed the contractors on the various corridors, whereby the upgrade of infrastructure, payway, and overhead traction equipment are being fixed, and there will be new improvements in terms of the rollout of the operations in the 10 corridors that were identified. Some of the challenges that ended up with delays in terms of fixing the network is the fact that the local people sometimes demand a share in terms of the 30% and the like. So what happens is that we requested PRASAM to appoint armed guards, as well as work with the SAPS to ensure that the work is improved. And I would like to indicate to honorable members that most of the things have been resolved, except where we still have serious challenges in the central line in Cape Town areas. So there will be much improvement in the second quarter, and the work is progressing well. To answer the issue from honorable member, whether there is a need for assistance from honorable members at the moment, I don't think there is a need for assistance at the moment, because the law enforcement agencies are working well with PRASA to ensure to it that the work on the upgrades are not interrupted further. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Malula. The maritime, the answer to special performance in the program. Do you have an answer for that?
Thank you, SNGG, and then thank you to the honourable members. We have not met the targets in full because we have got 5 targets and then we only met 3. The reason being that in particular on the one for the maritime as national security strategy, we had some problems or challenges in terms of the way how our targets or the technical indicators were formatted. We are supposed to state categorically who are our stakeholders, and then in particular we were not able to bring into the meeting that was held, which is a statutory meeting. Then the Department of Health serves as well as the Border Management Agency, which is Home Affairs, Affairs were not in that meeting. And then as such, then because our TDIs are technically specific, then we could not meet the target, even though we had the consultation going on. So in the next meeting, all that we said that the ones that we have missed, we'll try to catch up. And then they had made a commitment. And then the reason that they was provided from the Border Management Agency was because of the issues regarding the formalization of the Border Management Agency. So at that time, they were busy with that engagement and then trying to make sure that all their things, the technical staff are working on that, they were working on that issues. And then on the issue on the merchant shipping bill, members, we are saying that we are also behind because of the late engagement in terms of the consultative process going through to cabinet. We have at least now at this stage finalized, I think, all the cabinet clusters, and then we are now ready to proceed. The minister has signed the submission for us now to take the bill to the merchant shipping ring review to cabinet, and then we are hopeful that we will then be able to catch up in terms of the timelines that we are behind in terms of the merchant shipping bill. And we really need to finalize the bill or the review of the act, because then it now is impeding on progress in terms of some of the enforcement and then some of the oversight that we have to perform as a department, as well as from the side of SAMHSA. So we are saying to the members, we are doing all that we can to catch up, and then we do hope that in the next quarterly report, we'll have improved.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The last two and a half, Chair, the fatalities did decrease as represented by 3.2% compared to last year, Chairperson. I think the test will be now that the all the COVID restrictions have been lifted to see how the second quarter performs. Chair, while I was struggling to remove the taxes on the IPTM, Chairperson, we must remember that we target a phase that we launched in terms of removing and taking back the operating licenses, not necessarily on the entire route, Chairperson. But we must agree that there are still those that take chances. It's an issue around law enforcement. Chairperson, Shoba Galula is a once-off procurement. Once we procure, we spend all the money and then it gets out of the picture. Lastly, Chairperson, I hear Dr. Maluleka saying that not now in terms of assistance, but Chairperson, I'm sure that as the honorable members do oversight and outreach programs, they can definitely infuse on the communities to take care of their infrastructure. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. As I take the next round of questions from colleagues, want to appeal to the department as we respond. Let's try and be precise and not prolong our responses. You are bureaucrats, you are technical people, give the technical information and the response. We really will appreciate that without restricting what you want to respond to. And also, in your presentation, CFO, you did mention that there were wrong figures when it relates to vacancies. A typo, you said there is a typo. So we would like you to please forward to us the corrected figures, so that we can make sure that we compare it properly with the expenditure report. I now recognize Honorable McDonald, followed by Honorable Hunsinger, who will be followed by Honorable Pete May in that order. I will not interfere, colleagues. I will just let it flow.
Chair, on a point of order.
Yes, sorry, Honorable Sejolo, go ahead.
Chair, I had raised my hand, but put it down so that I don't disturb the flow of the questions.
My apology. Do you recall after who had I mentioned you? I do remember.
I was due to come just before Honorable Chris Hunsinger, and Honorable Chris Hunsinger was due to conclude, and then Honorable May had
raised. That's fine. That's okay. So although you didn't tell me which rule you were rising on a point of order on, but your point of order is sustained. It will be Honorable McDonald, followed by Honorable Frisono, followed by Honorable Chris Hussinger, and last but not least, Honorable Pete May. I will not speak after any speaker. I'd like you just, once the colleague is finished, just follow through so that I save time also. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the department for the presentation. Chairperson, let me preempt my remarks with a committee resolution that was taken some while ago, that the department's performance targets should be more aligned to service delivery. Then to this report, Chairperson, I want to the department to look at their rail transport. They say 100% performance level, 100% achieved. On their own slide, in slide 21, they say there at the last bullet, there has been a limited progress in the implementation of the capital program, as the data shows that the majority of the projects are stuck in initiation, concept, and procurement phase. Chairperson, they are stating that they have not done the work, but their performance, they indicate, is 100%. Then, Chairperson, I want to go to the central line. Netrag at the moment has been taken over by thugs. They are shooting at the construction people. They are shooting at the security. And they have literally taken over a station that belongs to Praza. And nothing is being done about it, Chairperson. Then on the taxi recapitalization, Chairperson, we need to finalize this. This was initiated to remove those illegally converted quantums off the market. For the sake of the people in South Africa and for the sake of children, because I just seen one of these taxis being used for scholar transport. Let's get these taxis off the road with or without operator's permit, that we can scrap these things, break them, and that we can have a safer people. We can't afford more deaths on our roads, Chairperson. Then, Chairperson, I want to run through this quickly so that we don't spend too much time here. On slide 65, Chairperson, there was on road transport the annual target of, for an example, maintenance, the number of kilometers of surface roads rehabilitated. The annual target was 2,053. For the whole quarter, they managed to do only 820 meters out of 2,053 kilometers. Then the number of kilometers of gravel roads re-graveled, out of the 6,695 kilometers, they've only managed to do 525 kilometers. Chairperson, that is very far from the 80%+ that they've given themselves in their performance indicators. Then, Chairperson, I just want to, we have a serious challenge in the aviation industry. We're not giving enough. There's not enough money spent. The department must review the strategy on the aviation. We are stuck without an aircraft for doing calibrations. Aircraft are being turned around in Cape Town because the ILS is not working properly. There's been a number of accidents in South Africa, recently the SAPS aircraft, and we are not, we're not aligned to spend money on the things that matter. And I think we must really get to that, Chairperson. And I'm sorry, Chairperson, those are my few commands. Thank you very much.
Chair, thank you very much. I do think that it is my turn. I have been largely covered in terms of my questions by Honorable Nolu Chungu, and I want to thank her for that. Chair, I'm very interested in two aspects here, as far as Rustenburg and Mangaung is concerned. Back in 2019, when the minister responded to a question that I had posed to him, and as far as Rustenburg is concerned in particular, and he had indicated that they had been working very closely with Rustenburg and that their first phase of their IPTN or the Yarona bus service would be operational by January 2020. Now, that was before, obviously, we found ourselves in a COVID situation. We're hearing now from the minister, as per the presentation, that there have been forensic audits that have been initiated in this in Mangaung and Rustenburg, respectively. Granted that one would be in a position to say we welcome this particular development, but the concern here is that the allegations that have been raised of corruption in as far as those IPTNs are concerned are not just things that are emanating from last year or whatever. They have been there. They have been there. Now, since I don't have the authority to obviously tell the minister what to do and what not to do, perhaps then as a committee member here, I would then ask the department to then respond in as far as saying, what then happens to those forensic investigation reports once they are with the department in September? Because we're hearing now they will be concluded in the next month or so, next 2 months. I don't know if it's this September or November or whenever those audit reports will then be tabled with the department. What is going to happen? What must happen? What are the consequences or the consequence management processes that will be taken? Granted that those who had been at the helm of these two municipalities, whether administratively or politically, are no longer there as it stands. And we want to know then what will then be our oversight as a committee in as far as those reports are concerned. Because we are aware that forensic audits are going to cost the taxpayer millions of rands, if I'm not mistaken. We've seen this before in the past. What is then the department's plan in as far as the tabling of those particular reports is concerned in those two municipalities? We hear that they've been given time over and over again. The department has said over and over again that they're working with these municipalities in order to fast track the implementation of these IPTNs. But year in, year out, we sit with reports that talk about challenges that are coming from the department, with money exchanging hands between the department and these municipalities, without any greater oversight from the department, in my view. And I want to understand and recognize that while the department can come and present to us about what is going on in these municipalities, the reality is that millions, not billions of rands are changing hands between the department and these municipalities, and we have absolutely nothing to show for it thus far. Honorable Nolu Chungu referred to the oversight, or as the Chabangu referred to the oversight that we did in April. Now, we saw for ourselves what the current situation is in Rustenburg. And Honorable Nolu Chungu makes the point again that even in the city of Cape Town, the city has been unable to get rid of taxis that are operational in these bus routes. What is the department's plan, and what is it that is going to come out of these particular forensic reports? Thank you, Chairperson. It's your turn, Honorable Unsinger.
Yes, thank you, colleague. I appreciate it. Chairperson, through you, I have only three questions. The first one relates to slide number 19,
where reference is made to trains, and it is certainly confusing also if the concept train sets is used. We were used to a configuration of a locomotive and a number of carriages, and that these carriages varied, and that therefore the application of the concept train sets would be different. So could we get some standardized form of expression and some protocol established in this reporting, so that we actually can get certainty around how many coaches, to what extent has the capacity of commuters and passengers to use these implemented additions, how that would then increase on the capacity. This was in reference to slide number 19. Then my next question is, as reference slide 80, where mention was made of the RTMC, the Road Traffic Management Corporation, having cash flow problems. I think the number related to that in the financials was 35 to 36 million. Can you give us some details on the particulars of this cash flow challenge? Because certainly there's been some budget planning and therefore projected application of budget, and therefore a particular intended cash flow management system, and where did things go wrong and in what way, and what is the extent of this cash flow challenge? My last question also is on slide 80, where just below that point a reference was made to machinery and equipment as an overspent column, and mentioned in particular was made the phrase that was used there was that delivery of machinery and equipment was earlier than what was expected. So how does it work in terms of the supply chain management, where you order stuff to be delivered at a certain stage, and then for some other reason it's just delivered sooner and people demand payment? I just would like to get an understanding of that and how you, within financial discipline and administrative order, how you would handle and treat that. I find it rather strange. Thank you, Chairperson. Those are my three questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. My question is fully answered by Mr. Chris Labisa. It's about the involvement of SANRAL in fixing potholes, national, provincial, and municipalities. SANRAL has done outstanding work over the years, and I believe the involvement of SANRAL will be a success. And in future, we can solve the problem of potholes, but I've said it many times. Don't wait till it's the size of a wheelbarrow. We must fix it when it's the size of a soccer ball. But I'm very positive. Thank you.
Thank you very much, colleagues. As you prepare to line up your responses, department, there is one thing I would like to ask of the CFO and maybe Mr. Tabisa then. He says the money that is being used for fixing of these potholes is the PRMG budget. Now, the PRMG in its nature is a provincial roads grant, but we have seen instances, particularly at the launch, it would appear that it was in a municipal area. How do you treat that money? Because somewhere, somehow, the financial report that the CFO gives us tells us of transfers to the provinces of the PRMG. On the other side, we are told by the line Directorate of Roads that they are using PRMG to do this. How do these two work?
Having said that, I will now hand over to you, Dade Mukonyama, and your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Obviously, looks like it's me and the CFO, and then probably the other colleagues if there's anyone to come in. Chairperson, on the TRP, like we are saying that I think the real answer is in the proclaiming the cut-off date. In that instance, you will be able to force all the enrolled with vehicles in terms of age analysis to come in for scraping. Now, they will come in or they will have to be removed from the roads with or without permits. Those that are with permits, it is easy. They can then apply for the scraping allowance and so on and then be removed. Those that are without permits is a matter that we'll have to sit down and see how best we then resolve them. How do we widen the net in terms of including those coming into the fold of the TRP program? Because the anticipation was that we were dealing with the legal operators, not necessarily illegal operations. The illegal operators are not even supposed to be on the roads anyway, because they do not have permits. And then we'll have them to get up and improve all law enforcement to ensure that the illegal vehicles are removed from the roads. Chairperson. The illegally converted quantums, the cut-off date was even put by the public protector in the report at the time. There are still around the 200 that we are looking for, and then to ensure that we close that chapter once and for all. Chairperson, we note the issue around the aviation budget and the issues around some of the services that are our responsibilities, and we'll have to deal with them. For example, an example was given around the aircraft calibration. I was just prompted by the incident in the last couple of days around Cape Town. Although the main problem there was the landing equipment in Cape Town because of the flooded runway. Chair, Mangaung and Rustenberg, it is a series of those complaints, stroke allegations, stroke reports from, among others, the honorable members in the platform, in the committee, that then prompted us to then go and zoom deeper into what really went wrong, what could be the corrective measures that we need to put in place, and how do we assist these municipalities in accelerating implementation. Now, the minister is on record just saying that the report will be made public. Obviously, the first stop will have to be this committee in terms of what the report says. The recommendations, without preempting them, they will then point out the leaders. If they are being managed, abused, misused, the recommendations will lead us to that. If there's been maladministration, the recommendations will lead us to that. And then we'll process them in the manner that we deal with the acts of maladministration, acts of corruption, and so on going forward. So I think the investigation, because it is forensic, it will have to be thorough, it will have to go to each and every cent spent and deal with issues, including value for money issues. Chairperson. That concludes the issues on aviation. And then CFO, I think the quite a few questions around the clarity on the cash flows, access to material and equipment, and so on. And then Dr. Malileka will have to come back again to
explain the concept of locomotives plus coaches vis-a-vis what we now call a full train set. Thank you very much. In that order, please.
Thank you, ADG, and thank you, honorable members, again. Let me start with the issue of machinery and equipment, which include our computer equipment. During COVID last year, when we were ordering computers, the lead time to deliver those computers, laptops, and so on used to take close to 90 days. But however, during the current quarter, when we ordered those particular laptops and desktop, we were able to receive them, you know, within the period of about 30 days. And as a result, we have to settle those particular invoices for the equipment that they have delivered, the chairperson and members. And it is because that on our planning side, we were still using the lead time that they experienced in terms of manufacturing, which most of the items are imported from abroad. Then when I come to RTMC, Chairperson, RTMC does not receive 100% grant from the department for their operations, Chairperson and members. They do generate income which they receive from the provinces and from the municipalities for in relation to the inactive transactions and so on. However, in the first 3 months of the financial year, municipalities were unable to settle their debt in terms of the inactive transactions, and as a result, they had that particular cash flow problem, which they indicated that because they will be collecting those revenues from the municipalities and provinces, they will recover during the course of the financial year. And as a result, for them, in order to meet their monthly obligation, they requested the department to transfer earlier their allocations, which is transferred 4 times in a financial year. So we had to put forward some of their transfer to earlier based on that request and motivation, Chairperson. And in relation to the pothole patching, the understanding that SANRAL is offering the technical expertise in terms of the pothole patching. However, as in relation to the PRMG, Chairperson and members, because this is a conditional grant, in it, one of the conditions for the provinces is the blacktop patching, what we call the blacktop patching through potholes. Therefore, there is a special allocation in all the provinces to actually address the issue of the potholes. So basically, is that the provinces have got the allocation to spend on potholes, and SANRAL is bringing on board those technical expertise of identifying and reporting of potholes into a centralized information system. And perhaps Dr. Tlabisa can even explain further as to what the app can be used for. Thank you, Chairperson and Acting DG.
Thank you, Chair. Just to indicate that we have noted the comments by honorable members. We are going to improve in terms of ensuring that we explain clearly the motor coaches and train sets as and when they are manufactured and delivered at Gibela, which is the Nigel manufacturing factory. And we will improve, Chairperson. Just wanted to outline that. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, and then lastly, there was an issue around targets not aligned properly to service delivery. Chairperson, in terms of the structure of the report, and
we have on target as a department in terms of what we do. In the majority of it will be policy related to, I mean, policy strategies, guidelines, and so on, and also matters of oversight. And then you are then going to have what you call consolidated targets from our entities, SOEs, and the people that we make transfers to. And those are the issues, and in terms of the numbers that come from firstly the SOEs and also then the municipalities. Now, we will try and align our targets in terms of the also talking to the consolidated targets. But in their own right, as the accounting authorities, Chairperson, they'll also have an opportunity, I'm very sure, of coming to present to the committee. And then they will have to account for these numbers that have been given, and we get from them. I think we have dealt with all the answers. Chairperson, I think the CFO has noted the issues around the typo on vacancies. This slide says 25, and then the actual number is 21.
Thank you very much, Ndate Mokonyama. I think, colleagues, we will leave it at that. These quarterly reports are things that really will always raise more questions than answers, but it is what it is. Honorable Nolu Chungu, I see your hand is up.
Thank you, Chair. I thought you would allow a space for follow-up questions.
Due to time, I really didn't think I had hoped so also, but the time just went very fast in the responses. But because you are on the floor, let me allow you to do that, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. I might have missed it, but if I have missed it, please pardon me. I think they did not respond on the PRASA capital, my very first question on PRASA capital projects, that there has been limited progress in the implementation of those projects. And then secondly, I would leave the third one, but the second one that I think it's important was the proposal to the minister to put a cut-off date on the tax recapitalization program. Now, what I would like to propose is that the department mentioned that they don't want to lose that money. I want to propose that they seriously consider transport for people with disabilities, because it is not mentioned anywhere. And the then deputy minister had acknowledged and agreed to put it in the program. But I see nothing is said about transport for people with disabilities. And it is something that it is lacking across the country. People with disabilities are not being provided the proper transportation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nolu Chungu. I will allow the department to respond specifically to the PRASA issue. On the other issues, without responding for them, I want to remind colleagues that when we deal with the first quarter, whatever quarter report, we are dealing with something that they would have put on in a target, that we might have had an opportunity at the APP level to introduce. So some things might be things that they can respond to, but might not necessarily be directly linked to what they are presenting before us now. But obviously, colleagues, members are well within their rights to raise all these issues that they are raising. But I think as a committee, we must at some point reflect and say, these things that keep on rising along the way, by the way, while we are getting a first quarter report or whatever, how do we treat them? I think it's something that we might as a committee want to reflect on so that none of these very important issues fall between the cracks. And Adema Kanyama, that specific request by Honorable Noel Chungu on the Prasa Capital Project, can we get a quick specific response there? Then we will move on.
Honorable Chair, I think we dealt with it, and probably that's where you even said that we're spending more time. Chairperson, I'm going to tie it up also with the trendsets at the factory, that we have not deployed the trains because the infrastructure was not ready. And the reason the infrastructure was not ready was because the majority of it was vandalized during COVID because it was not guarded. Now, part of the measures was that Prasa would increase capacity in terms of security at the stations while they are being refurbished and waiting for the train set. And in doing that, Chairperson will then be in a position to deploy more train sets onto the priority corridors. He even said that we might not even need assistance from the committee now because we have deployed even law enforcement. I even came back to say, look, we will welcome any assistance, including that when the members do own outreach, they then can encourage the communities to preserve their own infrastructure. As far as when we are dealing with that part, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I hope it does bring a little bit of comfort to Honorable Noel Chungu. These questions are always, as I say, very difficult because members, you can hear, they are frustrated about what they see on the ground compared to what they listen to in meetings such as this. But I believe we are making good progress. So, colleagues, that brings us to the end of the DOT presentation on its first quarter report. And I want to thank the department and the minister in absentia on that presentation. We then move on to number three, as I request Honorable Noel Chungu to lower her hand, please, so that I don't mistake it for a new hand. We will go to the deliberations on the Rail Safety Bill, which we already embarked upon, but there were some agreements of some public hearings that needed to happen, and we will now get a high-level presentation as to what is being proposed for members to consider. I'm aware that Ms. Carol is experiencing some challenges of a technical nature. I don't know if she is ready or somebody will take over in that particular area. Advocate is there. All right.
Hello, Chair and members. Members, the proposed location list was sent through by Ms. Carlse. I just tried to draw up a few proposals for members to consider. The way I went about this was to look at the statistics that we've received from the Railway Safety Regulator in their State of Safety reports. And in this report, we could see that Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN provinces were those with the highest volume traffic and were also the largest contributors to rail incidents. Members would have seen their percentage-wise, Gauteng was the worst for collisions, the same on derailments. In level crossings, we had the Northwest, KZN, and Western Cape that contributed 53% to these occurrences. person struck by trains was in Gauteng, Western Cape and KZN, where there was 72% of this. Platform train interchange issues, we also see those. And quite a number of these were in KZN as well. And then there was also an indication of railway security issues, and they had specific stations that they listed there. So what I attempted to do for members was to put this per province. So members will see in Limpopo, I indicated here the cities that we could possibly visit with specific sites, and then we indicated whether it's because of an incident that was there or the area of interest. So at Beitbridge, it will be freight. Louis Trichardt is passenger services. Modimole and Bela Bela was for cable theft issues, and Polokwane is also freight train, freight lines. For Mpumalanga, we've got Impala and Hector Spruit. There was an incident where there was 26 fatalities in 2012. Komatipoort is the freight line. Witbank, freight and passenger. Ermelo, freight. Delmas and Pieter Retief is cable theft. And then in the northwest, Rustenburg, the Impala mine, level crossing incidents. Potchefstroom, the train station there burnt down in September 2020. That is one of the stops on the route if you do take the Shozalosa mail from Pretoria down to Cape Town. In Clarksdorp, there was cable theft. That's also mining and passenger impact. Then Gauteng, quite a few more stations and incidents. Swane and Johannesburg. Options there are Gautrain, where there was some palisade fence damage, a fire at a transformer, and a collision in 2020-21. I think that was a shunting collision. It was not necessarily with passengers on the train. What I proposed, for example, for Gauteng, when we have a situation where we are in a metro, we have quite a few services interlinking. We can consider the Park Station, where you will have Crossa Metro Rail as well as Gautrain. You will also have other modes of transport there if members want to look at the safety situation there for passengers to transfer from trains, obviously, to other modes. And then the other option is obviously Tshwane Central Station, where we also have the Metro Rails there, bus services, and Gautrain stations. Then the smaller stations is Hercules, Olifantsfontein, Brakpan, and Dawn Park was where there was cable theft issues reported. Then in Germiston, Germiston and Kuruspoort was for the Blue Train incidents, where there was a 19 empty coach derailment in November 2021, and then a wagon that caught on fire in February 2022. There was also a recent report that the Blue Train will start running again. So that is under Transnet. Then we have Soshanguve. There was a Metro Rail train set collision outside the station in January 2022, Van der Bijl Park. We have ArcelorMittal operations having been impacted by poor freight rail services. That was in March 2022. Steel and iron ore in Gauteng, transport by rail is very important. And if we look at rail safety, that will also link in with some of the obviously safety of transporting the freight, but also safety for crossings and rail crossings. Then Boksburg, Boksburg train stations in the east and Dalmore, there was some vandalism of stations there in December 2021. Free State options, we've got Geneva railway crossing. There was an incident there in 2018 where there was 24 fatalities and 263 injuries. In Bethlehem, on the rail line at Kransfontein, one vehicle collision with a train in May 2022. That was a Fortuna that tried to bypass traffic and he thought it was going to be a good decision to actually drive on the rail tracks. But that did not end very well for the vehicle. And Maseru, the Maseru border gate level crossing, there were some incidents there with level crossings. The same for Tabanchu, same for Botaville, for Yunskruen, Valpoom, and Henneman. And then there's other options for Kroonstad, for freight and cable theft impact there, Bloemfontein, passenger as well as freight, and then Zamdela, there was cable theft. KwaZulu-Natal, again, the option there, Durban Central Station and the port terminals, if we want to look at the impact that flooding had on these rail services from a safety perspective, as well as the running of the passenger lines there. Then Impangeni had some cable theft. Bulgoan, Nottingham Road, next to the R103, there was a goods train derailment in July 2022. There was two injuries there reported. Ladysmith, Peter Maritzburg, Durban and Richards Bay, mainly freight, but the others as well for passengers. Members did see in the visit to Peter Maritzburg that those passenger lines were stopped and the station was not really functioning, so it will not really assist in feeding into integrated transport. Then for the Northern Cape, we've got the R as well. That will link up for freight and long-distance passenger services. Kimberley, again, freight and passenger services. There was also cable theft impacting operations there. And Upington is also an option for freight. Eastern Cape, we've got East London, Gqeberha, and Adelaide. At Adelaide, there was the coach derailment of the medical services train on 19 January 2022. That's Transnet service. And then for the Western Cape, Cape Town Central, also again proposed because we've got a few modes linking in there. It's one of the busiest stations. You can also look at some of the harbour lines going, transporting the freight from the harbour into inland areas. And then obviously Pinelands also had some cable theft issues. Kalk Bay, there was the Kalk Bay level crossing incident in May 2022. Kalksteenfontein, central line cable repairs. There was two Prasa workers shot by cable thieves in June 2022. Both of these will be a freight and passenger line. Brewster is a freight and passenger line. And then Saldana is mainly a freight line. So members will see, we've added quite a few cities here as options for members to choose from. Based on past experiences, Valerie indicated to myself as well as how other committees work, they normally pick 2 to 3 cities per province. And then members will be able to just guide us on where they would like us to focus for that provincial oversight for the railway safety bill. So Chair, that is just the document and the presentation for members to just give us their views on where we need to focus for these public hearings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate. I've been listening to you very carefully. You use the word provincial oversight, then use the word public hearing. And may I remind members that we are talking about public hearings in particular. And I think the exercise was trying to say, this is where more interest, because we want to go where there would be more interest and get more people to participate. But that is what it is, colleagues. Can we have any questions or anything you have in the absence of questions, or as you give questions, you can give your suggestions to the proposal of which areas could be targeted for public hearings as it relates to the rail safety bill before us. I see one hand so far. Let us allow it. Honorable McDonald, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairperson. I I read the document and it's quite extensive, and I thank Advocate Nell for the presentation and the document. It was very well prepared. Chairperson, I'm not really in favor of any specific place. I think we must work a program and we must go to as many of places as possible. Definitely, I think one of the places that I would like to see and where we do public participation would be at Bait Bridge and in Limpopo. And the other one would be, I think, in the rural areas of the Free State where we can do public participation, because I can see the Free State's become a habitual contravener of level crossings. I see most of the incidents of level crossings were in the Free State. So maybe in our public participation, we can also make awareness for rail crossing safety. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable MacDonald. I saw your hand, Honourable Ketama Balastol. I don't know whether it got disconnected or you dropped the hand.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think, I think it was a mistake.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Thank you, thank you. All right, Honourable MacDonald is going for. Colleagues, we need to identify three areas per province. So we do need your comments. Let's not keep to touch and say let the team do that. What you were given are possible considerations in identifying those areas. Honorable MacDonald has identified Limpopo. In the process. Apologies. I don't know what happened. I was still saying Honorable MacDonald identified Limpopo, Bait Bridge, identified Free State, but I didn't hear particularly where in Free State. Maybe for us to do it quickly, let's go through the presentation. We'll talk through it per province so that we identify areas, agree so that we can assist the team rather than leaving it up to them. Okay, there are the suggestions: Limpopo, Bait Bridge, Louis Trika, Mudimule, Bilabila, Mulukwa. So, three sites per province. Bait Bridge has already been identified. Then the others will still need to have the site identified. Can I venture to suggest that where it relates to cable theft, although it's a safety issue, but we don't really look at it. On this one, we look at freight passenger issues. Would that be a fair issue to raise? In other words, for Limpopo, we say Bait Bridge, Polokwane, and Louis Trichard. Colleagues, going? It's very quiet.
Chairperson, you're on the right track, Chairperson. I had my hand up, but you're on the right track, Chairperson, right. And I'm on a full support.
All right.
You support, Chair.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Honorable Ketama Bala.
We support for the Pompon, but I'm going for Gauteng, my friend.
Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga. The assumption I'm making is that I might not have been part of most of these meetings. The agreement is that we go each province, identify three areas, and I'm trying to focus on what are the issues there and where you are most likely to have people coming to your hearing. You don't want to go and be alone. So in Mpumalanga, the first one identified Impala, 26 fatalities, I think for me it's very relevant. Komatipoort, Witbank. So So it's Impala, Hectorson, Komatipoort, and Witbank, because it covers both flight and passenger there. Do I have support? It looks like I have support. Thank you. Northwest, there are only three places there, and I think we will stick to the three places that are there. If it were according to me, I would reduce them to two and stick to Rustenburg and Potchefstroom, where there are level crossing incidents. Poch, even lesser, but yes, that would be my take there. In Northwest, we go for
I
two.
I support you, Chairperson, on your suggestion for the two.
Okay. So then, let's hear Honorable Ketamaba. He said he was waiting for Gauteng. So talk to us, Honorable Ketamaba. Three sites, please.
I think the first one is Park Station, and the second one is Swanee Central, and the other one is Union Station in Kingston.
All right. Support for that proposal? Objection?
Support.
Supported. Thank
supported,
you.
Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ketamabala. Thank you. Let's move on, Advocate. What's the next province there? Free State. Who is talking to us on Free State?
Chairperson, I would suggest a bunch of Welkom and Bloemfontein.
Kabanchu, Welkom and Bloemfontein. Support? Yes, that is it for Free State. Thank you.
Supported, sir.
Thank you. KZN. There are very few there. I think we Durban Central.
Durban Central, Mbangan and Richards Bay.
Richards Bay.
Pietermaritzburg, Chairperson.
And Pietermaritzburg. So it's Durban Central, it's Pietermaritzburg, and it's Richards Bay in KZN. All right. Northern Cape, we have DR, we've got Kimberley, we've got Uppington. And there I might say just also consider the distances between those places.
Chairperson, if I can make a suggestion, just the R and Uppington, because the R is the main connection point of the freight between Namibia and South Africa, and also between the provinces to the Western Cape. So it's quite an interchange there, and there's a lot of rail movement there, and then maybe Uppington for freight, but it's up to you, Chairperson. I was suggesting those two.
No, I don't agree. It's up to me, up to us, but I take your suggestion. Northern Cape, the suggestion is DR and Uppington. DR and Uppington.
Agreed.
That is what it is. Thank you. Eastern Cape, we'll invite Honorable Pitt May there.
Is London, Quebec and Adelaide. Only three.
Okay. The three that are listed there is what is going. Okay. Is there something happening in Adelaide, Honorable Pittman? Except the incident that could have happened. Yeah. But beyond that, is there rail life in Adelaide?
Not really, Chairperson. It's situated between East London and Port Elizabeth. So we'll have to travel by bus. But that's no problem.
Okay. All right. That's Eastern Cape as presented. Western Cape? Western Cape. Is there more than what is there?
Can I suggest that we include Khayelitsha?
Okay.
Instead of Pinelands. There aren't many rail users in Pinelands. Rather include one of the township. It can either be Langa, Khayelitsha, or Nyanga.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that, Chairperson. And if we can, then the other two, maybe Saldanha and either Beaufort West or Worcester, I'm not really faced.
Okay, so around the city itself, we identify Khayelitsha, Langa, Onyanga, but I think the inclination is towards Khayelitsha. Am I correct, Honorable Nolshungu?
Yes, it is, Chair.
Okay. So we'll do Khayelitsha in the Western Cape. We'll do Beaufort West. What was the last one, Honorable McDonald?
Saldanha, Chairperson. Saldanha.
All right. Those will be the three in the Western Cape. I think we are done, unless we need to do Namibia. Honorable Kedamabala, is that a fresh hand or is that an old hand?
No, it's an old hand, Chair.
All right. Thank you, colleague. All right. Have we addressed it fully, Advocate Nell? Is there anything that you needed us to deliberate on yet that we might have missed?
Chair, I think we'll just need to hear from Valerie regarding the possible dates, but these cities will now allow us to finalize and submit the application to House Chair, as well as the budgeting and road transport for some of these areas. And then we'll should be able to know, but I think Valerie did mention that I'm not sure if it's going to be moved to October or November. So we just need to get the date information and then members' availability, obviously, once she has the dates checked.
Thank you very much, Advocate. The indication is that it will certainly be after the BRRR. So immediately after the BRRR, I think those will be the dates. But as the dates get refined and the submissions are made, obviously the members will be kept up to speed of those things there. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. Colleagues, before we go to the last point on our agenda item, at the beginning of the meeting, Honorable Hunsinger raised the issues. There were two issues in particular, the issue of the road accident fund, annual reports or the process thereof. He gave a full background as to what happened, and the members are aware of would have received now, as we had requested the Secretariat to give you, have since received a letter from the AG concerning that, and I had indicated that we would like some input from both advocates on the legality and the process. But the reality in summary is that according to the AG, the reasons that were put forward by the Road Accident Fund have not been accepted, and therefore they are continuing. And so we need to understand what are the issues there that we need to attend to. Did members receive the letter, copy of the letter addressed to the chairperson from the AG?
Chair, I can confirm
that. Yes, you received it, Chair.
We received it moments ago.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I guess the reason, obvious, okay, there it is being pinned there. Advocate Nell, can I ambush you, please? What then are the implications in line with what was raised by Honorable Bonsinga earlier, and what is it that the committee can or should do? Maybe can is what you can input on, and what the committee would like to do. I would invite the colleagues, having given us in summary what the implications are in our work on this letter. I hope that ambush you can tackle. You are capable advocate.
Thank you, Chair. Not an ambush at all. Chair, members will recall that at the beginning of the year, there was also a letter from the AG when they highlighted their outcome of last year's RAF annual report, because they did an audit, but obviously it's not the final published annual financial report from the entity itself, but the AG had their view. And that view is then the view that is taken into dispute, and they are in a mediation type phase with Treasury relating how they do their calculations and how they are seen, because the Road Accident Fund indicated that there was a bit of a issue in terms of how they are seen as an insurer instead of a social system, almost like SASA. But Chair, what I would suggest, if we follow the same approach that we had last year, where some of the entities did not submit their annual reports yet, but the AG presented their findings in any event to the committee, we could see a similar situation here. I just want to go down the letter. The main focus of the letter is obviously the Road Accident Fund for this letter, but there was a communication as well that there might be a delay. I just don't have that letter here now to show to members. Just going to close this.
Actually, Chair and Alma, I can talk to the open in front of me. Members would know that normally before the annual reports get tabled, there's a one-on-one meeting with the chairperson and AG's office on those audits. So that meeting was scheduled for the 12th of September next week, Monday. But then there was an email asking for that a meeting to be postponed, because although the AG had signed off on most of the national audits by 31 July, there were still a few outstanding audits, which include the Road Accident Fund and PRASA. So that's what they indicated towards the end of last week.
Yes, Chair. So then I think as the committee did last year, when there was a delay with RTIA and RTMC, as well as I believe it was SAMHSA, the AG would give their findings and their outcomes in any event based on whether it was qualified, unqualified, or disclaimers. And the committee included the AG's views and findings on those, even if we also mention in our report, as we did last year in the BRRR, that the annual reports were not submitted at the time of finalization of the BRRR report. As these reports do come in later in the year, they do get tabled and sent through. We have received some of those late tabled reports. The only difference is that we've not had the time as a committee to do a supplementary report to include those annual reports in detail. That is what we can do going forward with this. And I think then from a procedural aspect, Valerie can also just touch on if members feel very strongly about demanding a document or a larger amount of documents. For example, the AG will send us about a 5-pager where they will give their AG's report, as it is normally in the annual reports. They will then obviously leave out which pages they cross-reference to in the annual reports, because we cannot have those pages if the annual reports are not published. But if members feel strongly, I think there might be allowance for you to ask the AG to supply the committee with the documents that they worked on. If members are not satisfied with merely the AG's report on those documents, even though the annual report will not be before the committee. And then once the reports do get tabled later on, whether it's with the resolution of the issues that Road Accident Fund has with how the AG does the audit, or how the AG does have issues with how they complete their documents, then we can do a supplementary report. Just from that point, that's a content point of view, Chair. Again, not a legal opinion. then if the committee feels that they need to get a legal opinion, they can request that from legal services. But Mr. Hunsinger was correct in terms of the sub judice application opinion that was given. It should not be impeding the committee getting a presentation. We could get a situation where the committee can call the Road Accident Fund to present on the annual financial year that would be under review, which would be 2021 to 2022, would have ended in March this year, and ask the RAF to present on it whether they've submitted the annual report or not. This is something that members can consider. They will just indicate that the figures are not audited, or they will say that the figures have been processed through their internal audit. And then we can structure the BRRR observations and recommendations on what they presented accordingly, and just make the notes or indicate whether or not it was on the audited documents or on the AG's opinion or on the unaudited figures that they would have presented, Chair. So that would be my input for this, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate. And we do note that it is not a legal opinion. Very well known. Colleagues, there it is. I want to invite your input now before I privatize this discussion. But as I invite your hands, I think what is key here, which is what Honorable Hunsinger had started in presenting the matter earlier, our role on oversight in line with options that Advocate has highlighted cannot be stopped. So we should do oversight. Obviously, if the members feel need to take one direction or the other as being suggested. Honorable Kenamabala, I now suspect this hand is a fresh hand. Should I recognize it?
Yeah, my friend.
Okay, that is Honorable Kenamabala number one. Any other hands? We have it here. All I want, what would you like to do, colleagues? It will be followed by Honorable McDonald. Excuse me, and I will give it last to Honorable Hunsinger. I'm particularly wanting you to be last because you had introduced the matter. We are looking at it now. Let's allow other colleagues and then you'll be last. So Honorable Kenamabala, Honorable McDonald, and Honorable Hunsinger, in that order, please, colleagues. You can shoot.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I think our option now, I think we have to call the RAF to come and represent their status in the portfolio committee. Because you see, sometimes we are very soft to these entities. You see, if you are talking about PRASA, we are talking about this RAF, they are actually causing a lot of challenges in our portfolio committee. So now I suggest that Chairperson, we must call them to come and account. And then another thing, there's something that I'm just thinking, Chair, I don't know if it's illegal or not. If we can call the RAF with the
with the auditor general in one meeting, if that one is possible, so that we can find their argument in what they can say to us as the different sexual section nine and our entity. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Katamabala. Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Advocate Nell, for the presentation. And thank you to Ms. Carlos for the letter. Chairperson, we are between a rock and a hard place because we are in the middle of two children fighting about who's right and who's wrong. And I agree with Honorable Ketamabala. I think Road Accident Fund and the AG, they don't have to come on the same day, but I think maybe the AG must come and explain why they want it their way and why can't it be that way. And then the Road Accident Fund to come and present to us. Because at the end of the day, we need those financials and we need to have them because that's our role in oversight. So I agree that we can't stop there. We can't wait forever. We need those documents and they need to come to the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald. Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, without going into detail that would expose my opinion about this, which is just an opinion, I think it would be valuable to the committee to first only get the AG so that we can get a perspective on what the actual reasons was for not submitting the annual statements and report. And from that, I think we will be in a better position then to decide whether and if we will engage better with the Road Accident Fund's financials after having a thorough presentation by the AG. It is technical in nature, and we need to get grip on the variation in financial approach, which is the basis of this dispute. And a way was found to do it in a different way, and we need to understand why it was deemed necessary to then submit this particular financial report in a different way, which then caused this whole dispute. So therefore, I think given all these technicalities, it is important for us first only to meet with the AG and then to decide how we will approach it with the Road Accident Fund and whether we want to engage with the Road Accident Fund before the AG has concluded or Treasury has concluded the actual auditing, which was part B of the court proceedings. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, colleague. I think there is consensus on meeting the AG. Where there is no clear consensus as yet is to whether to invite RAF or not. There is views that say yes, let's see them also. So I think, colleagues, let it be work in progress where we are resolving as a committee that we will need to see the Auditor General on matters of the AG as we all know them. What I think will depend when it is, because I believe now, having heard that the procedure is that the chairperson would have met the AG first and then the committee. So our resolution is not breaking that protocol, but we are saying as a committee, we would like to see the AG as it relates to Road Accident Fund. Once we have seen the AG as a committee, we will take a view as it relates, because I'm sure a lot of information and insight will come out of that meeting. We will then take a view of what is the next step as it relates to the Road Accident Fund. So we are not saying we are not seeing the Road Accident Fund, but we are saying let's first hear the AG first and then we'll take a view from there. That is my summary on the letter, and I hope colleagues have summarized it well. If those legacy hands can be lowered, we'll appreciate it. That of Honorable Hunsinger and Honorable Ketamaba. All right, that disposes of that matter. The second matter which was raised was the issue of the Sarkar crash report and the appeals process that was apparently later rejected by another, by the Ethiopian authorities. And I think the matter here that we need to resolve on is what do we do? This report, we heard that it was, there was an appeal, but we hear now that there could have been a different view that that cannot be appealed. The second issue is that there was somebody who had wanted or showed willingness to come and address the committee as it relates to his knowledge of that environment as a former employee there. So I want to invite comments, colleagues. Maybe let me also ambush once more advocate and Ms. Carol Sayer to remind us a little bit and also bring us, it's always important to get what is the procedure. I always want us to stick towards what the procedure would be when we have received something like this. What are the options that we have so that when we engage, we know our parameters in terms of procedure. We don't find ourselves on the other side. So can I ambush you, Ms. Carlson, to remind us procedure and everything, and then advocate if there's anything you'd like to add on here. Then I'll invite the colleagues.
Just a question of clarity, Mr. Mangu. The matter that Mr. Hunsinger was referred to, was it sent to the chairperson as well about the appeals?
Yes, please go ahead, Honorable Hunsinger.
Acting chairperson, through you. Ms. Carlson, when we dealt with the report, and when it was in fact tabled with the committee on the 8th of March 2022, it was mentioned by the minister that the report is for taking note because it would be subjected to a review in that the Ethiopian Aircraft Accident Investigation Bureau would be contacted to contest the content, and therefore we only took note of the report. Therefore, we could not process the report, we could not express an opinion over the report, and matters couldn't be taken, or any direction couldn't be taken. This, given the content of that report, which indicated further remedial action, which I don't want to expand on now. The principle of the matter is that the report at the time couldn't be finalized because we accepted what the minister then offered as a intentional process of appeal. Since then, it was revealed by information from the Ethiopian Aircraft Accident Investigations Bureau that there's no such thing as an appeal, and that the report which was tabled should be considered as a final report, since no new evidence or additional information that would alter the content has been submitted. Therefore, I regard it as valuable for this committee then to reconsider that original report as the final report, and that we then take it from where we were in March 2022. In addition to that, further valuable insight was also postponed at the time that was offered by a Mr. Peter Mashaba, who I understand was the former chief executive of investigations, that could certainly give us particular background and particular insight. More information wasn't revealed at the time, but that Mr. Mashaba definitely is in a position to then also give us insight and understanding so that we can evaluate the conditions around that particular time. So those two were the main points that I raised and the status of both. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honor. I think the direct response to the question, Ms. Carroll, says that no, we don't have an answer if that rejection, let me use the word rejection or rebuttal by the Ethiopian authorities, was forwarded to the chairperson or not. Ms. Carroll, sir, I think you've got the response.
I've got my response for that. Thank you.
Yeah. Any advice on the process? Because the request is that the committee reconsiders that report in light of the fact that it would appear that there's not been any appeal, or if there's been an appeal, we don't know what the response is. So the request is that the matter be brought back to the committee for consideration and opinions and processing forward. Would that be procedural, Ms. Carlson, advocates?
That report was not a formally tabled report, so it was not referred to the committee for consideration in the report. But if members decide to have a follow-up meeting with the minister about it, it is probably something to consider based on the decision today to have the department back and the minister for follow-up on that matter.
Would it be within the committee's purview to demand the report to be tabled, knowing that there is a report, although it was not formally tabled, as you've rightfully said?
I will have to think about that a little bit longer and have a discussion with some of my colleagues in their tables and get back to the committee formally in that regard.
Colleagues, did I summarize it well? Because at the end of the day, I hear the committee saying, we want that report. It was not formally presented. Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, thank you, and thank you for all the inputs from everybody. Chairperson, I agree. Let's have the report officially. I mean, I've just quickly read the minister's on to 25th of January his status, a media statement regarding the report, and the 60 days, it was his final report now released by the Ethiopian Investigation Department. Other parties may choose to appeal to the minister and have 60 days. So, Chairperson, that 60 days has long lapsed. I think it would be the right thing that the department comes and bring the report to us so that we can see two things, Chairperson, that the report was done and that it was properly done, and then how do we stop incidents like that happening again. That's our role in oversight, Chairperson. So I think that is what we need to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald. Thank you very much, Honorable Humsinga, for bringing the matter. The committee therefore resolves that the Secretariat will investigate the practicality of demanding the report be presented at the committee as soon as possible. Thank you so much, colleagues. We then move to the issue of the Maritime Safety Bill, or is it what it's called, that we dealt with at the beginning. Marine Pollution Amendment Bill, my apologies. The committee is in agreement that the bill is desirable, and we are in agreement that the matter be brought forward. So before us is the motion of desirability on the Marine Pollution Prevention of Pollution from Ships Amendment Bill, B5 of 2022. That in the opinion of the committee, the legislation is desirable to amend the Marine Pollution Prevention of Pollution from Ships Act 1986 so as to give effect to Annexure 4 of the International Convention for the Prevention of Pollution from Ships, Secondly, to incorporate the 1997 protocol in order to give effect to Annexure 6 of the Convention. Thirdly, to provide for methods connected therewith. And lastly, that the bill be referred to the committee, the bill referred to the committee be taken as a basis. Colleagues, there is a motion of desirability that we agreed on. Can I have a mover and a seconder that indeed we agree that this bill is desirable as agreed?
Chairperson, Honorable MacDonald, I move that the bill is desirable. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. May I have a seconder that this bill is desirable? Colleagues, Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm glad that you noticed my hand. That was up for quite some time.
My apologies.
I saw you didn't check the screen. You were busy with your notes there, Chairperson, that I also appreciate. It's always good to have records. Chairperson, I second this motion of desirability. And I had my hand up actually on the previous point still. I appreciate your consideration and approval then for us to have this report retabled of the SEOFP and the Aircraft Accident Investigation Bureau. But I humbly remind you then also of the request to include at that occasion the submission which Mr. Peter Mashaba would want to make for us to get particular insight and understanding of the conditions. That's regarded as valuable to this portfolio committee, that we include him during the same session that we envisage. Thank you, Chairperson, and also for your chairmanship today.
Thank you very much, colleague. Can I also put to the committee that we need to take a resolution, therefore, that with this acceptance or adoption of the motion that this bill is desirable, we are also agreeing that the process of publication can start immediately with due process in Parliament of quotations and all that goes with it. Do I have the committee's agreement? I see thumbs up and everything. So, thank you, Honorable MacDonald. Therefore, the committee resolves that the bill can go for publication and all due process will be followed by the Secretariat.
Mr. Mangu, I just want to confirm who moved and who seconded. Mr. MacDonald.
Who seconded was Honorable Hunsinger.
That is for the publication of the bill. I covered the motion.
Okay, for the publication. Thank you, Ms. Carroll. Could I have a mover also for the publication of the bill?
Chairperson, Honorable MacDonald moves for the publication of the bill.
Thank you so much. Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. I had my hand up, but Honorable MacDonald seems
we
to
will,
have,
we will
have
swap
broken,
it
the protocol, broken the protocol on that. But all in good spirit, Chairperson, we are in full agreement. Let's proceed.
Thank you so much. You got it, Ms. Carlson?
Fine. Just so that members know, we have to do it for audit purposes because we're going to spend some money.
It's in order. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, colleagues, for your cooperation and assistance. We now go to the last item for today, which is consideration of the minutes of the 30th of August, 2022. I checked that the minutes were read, and I now give the opportunity for anybody who wants to raise any issue on the minutes of correction, any issue on the minutes on the 30th. I don't see a hand. Can I therefore invite a mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 30th of August as a true reflection? Honorable McDonald, your hand is up.
Chairperson, so that I don't break protocol, yeah, as Honorable Hansinger suggested, I move for the adoption. In a lighter note, Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you so much. Could I have a second for the adoption of the minutes of the 30th of August? Was it that long, colleagues, that you are tired? Just a second for minutes. Yeah, my dad. I can't second, I'm sharing.
Then I come to the class.
Unfortunately, I also can't second because I did not attend that meeting.
Yeah, my dad. All right. Can somebody who was in the meeting second, please?
Second is May.
Thank you, Honorable May. The meetings of the 30th of August 2022 are therefore duly adopted. Colleagues, that brings us to the end of this meeting. May I invite Ms. Carol Say if there's any announcements or anything that we might have missed in the midst of juggling between papers and chairing a meeting.
Just one issue. In last week's meeting, the chairperson indicated that the program would stand over till today, but I've discussed the outstanding issues that chair needed to address for us to finalize that program. Members may recall there was still the issue about the concurrence with the NCOP in terms of the land transport amendment bill. So those were issues that first needed to be cleared out before we can finalize the agenda items for the next 2 weeks until the end of term. So I will be discussing with Chair again after this meeting, and will forward any information as soon as possible.
Thank you very much, Ms. Carlson. Which then means, when is the next portfolio committee meeting? Because colleagues are not always going to emails, I know that.
The meetings will continue on Tuesdays as per the program. There will just be agenda changes because we had to wait for the state law advisor to return from her sick leave. She has forwarded yesterday the corrections to the proofs of the road transport amendment bill. So we will be seeing how things evolve over the next 2 days, and forward any information to members in terms of the agenda for next week.
Thank you very much, Ms. Carlson. Thank you to the whole support team, Advocate Nell, Dr. Ngesi, Ms. Masati. Thank you to the team transport. We truly appreciate your attendance and indulging with us in our processes. To the colleagues, you know it is your job. It is what you are paid for. So we can't thank you for that. But thank you for everything and the cooperation. I think we have made progress. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Colleagues. Bye-bye. Thank you, Chair. Bye.